ജയം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ സ്തോത്ര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവിനാന്ദ ഗോസ്വാമി ഹരശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്രിലാപ്രവിഷ്ടോം വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ സ്തോത്ര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹൃദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനയ്ക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മയപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ജഗന്നാഥ് പുരിധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരിധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേശ്വരി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്തസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതാം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീ ഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടാം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലെ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സുപദാന്തികം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാൻവിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണി നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി ഇതി നാമിനി ശ്രീവർഷഭാനവിദേവി ദൈതായ കൃപാബ്ധയേ കൃഷ്ണസംബന്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദൈതേ പ്രഭവേ നമഃ മാധുര്യോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യ ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിദ ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീ മൂർത്തയേ ദിനധാരിണി രൂപാനുഗവിരുദ്ധാവസിദ്ധാന്തദ്വാന്തഹാരിണി നമോ ഗൗരകിശോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബരസാംബോധേ പദാംബുജായതേ നമഃ നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനി ഗൗരശക്തിസ്വരൂപായ രൂപനുഗവരായതേ ഗൗരവവിർഭവഭൂമേസ്ത്വം നിർദ്ദേഷ്ടാ സജ്ജനപ്രിയ വൈഷ്ണവാ സർവഭൗമശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായതേ നമഃ വാഞ്ചകൽപ്പതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവച പതിതാനാം ഭവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ നമോ മഹാപദാന്യായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമപ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യനാമ്നേ ഗൗരത്വശേ നമഃ പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം ഭക്താവതാരം ഭക്താഖ്യം നമാമി ഭക്തശാക്തികം ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ ചേതാം സുരദൗഭംഗോർ മമ മന്ദമദീർഘതി മത്സർവസ്യ പദാംഭോജോ രാധാമദനമോഹനൗ ദിവ്യവൃന്ദാരണ്യകൽപദ്രുമാദ ശ്രീമന്ദരത്നാകരസിംഹാസനസ്ഥ ശ്രീവശാദാ ശീലഗോവിന്ദദേവോ പ്രേഷ്ടാളിഭി സേവ്യമാനോ സ്മരാമി ശ്രീമന്ദ്രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീവടതടസ്ഥിതാഃ കർഷാൻ വേണുസ്വനേർഗോപേർ ഗോപിനാഥാശ്രയേസ്തു നാഃ തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗി രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീയദ്വൈതഗദാധരശ്രീവാസാദിഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാം 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാം 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാം 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ So, as we discussed last Saturday, the soul has certain characteristics, isn't it? What are they? Nityatvad, it's eternal. It is always existing. Shuddhatvad, it's always pure. It is always pure. Nityatvad, Shuddhatvad. Then, and Abhavaviddhatvad, it has no sin can touch the soul. We falsely think that the soul has done this, soul has done, soul hasn't done anything. Actually, according to the subtle body, the vasanas what we have brought with us, the body and the mind has got involved in everything. And accordingly, we have created this ignorance in us. And that is what manifests in the form of the sinful reactions later. So, ajnanam is what is the problem. The problem is the ignorance, not the sinful reactions what we have created. That ignorance will continue to act in one way or the other, and we get involved in executing the life based on the misunderstanding with the body. Misunderstanding of the body. So therefore, in Vedantam, it is first thing is to keep this hearing, this understanding that it is not the soul that has done everything, it is all the mind and the body based on its propensities or the impressions inside or the, what's called vasanas. So, nityatvam yadhatmecha atmanaha shuddhatvaha abhavaviddhatvaha ekatva nityatva. And soul in its pure form is one. It's present in all forms, in all bodies existing. But pure soul is in one. It exists as one. Nityatvam, and it's eternal. Ashariratvaha. Ashariratvam means it has no shariram. It has no body. Strictly speaking, it doesn't exist. The body. Body is a creation of the material nature thrown at us on our real pure identity as the soul. That's why he said ashariratvad. And what else? Sarvagadatvadi vakshamanam. Sarvagadatvam, it means it has the capacity to go, it is present everywhere, in all situations it's present there. So, so Upanishads have only one thing to tell us, that once you touch that truth, which is the freedom from this identity with the body, but on the pure consciousness, as it's referred to as Brahmam, Brahmam, Paramatma, Bhagavan, these are different designations. So, there is no impurity in the soul. It is Shuddhatvad, Abhava Viddhatvad, and no sin can touch the soul. No sin can touch the soul. Egatvad, there is no second thought, second thing exists after that. Nityatvad, Nityatvad means it is existing forever. It existed all time, it's existing now, and it will exist in the future as well. Ashariratvad. So, as long as we know that if we know that when we executing our activities in this world, for example, that karma brings its own reactions to us, isn't it? Karma brings its own reactions. So, karma vasana is there in everybody. Everybody has that tendency to engage in karma. And from karma vasana, we will engage in karma. With the result of that karma, reactions will come. Reactions will come in this world. So, people, when we say that the soul is not touched by anything, people will misuse that. as a excuse to engage in sinful life. Soul is not touched, why shouldn't I do it? Isn't it? So all kinds of excuses they will find to step out of line. In other words, not to follow the principles of dharma. In other words. So it is then that Upanishads are saying to us that if when the reaction comes, if you can still maintain your position as you are not this body, then it's fine. Then you can carry on. But the fact is that because your identification with the body is so strong, you can't do that. When the reaction comes, you suffer. You tend to suffer. That is the reason why it is said like that. Though, so, in the Bhagavatam also, you will see this Krishna's statement to Uddhava in the same way. So, in our, for the liberated person, one who has escaped from this material existence, for him the body doesn't exist. But in our vision, the body exists. Isn't it? When we look at him for a liberated personality, for us, his body exists. But for him, his own body doesn't exist. He is waiting for the body to drop off. He's just one figure moving around in this world, completely unaware of the existence of the body, existence of the surroundings. So it's completely out of the body. He's completely finished with that body, but the body hasn't gone away yet. Body can drop only when that particular time, and the body is called Prarabdha Shariram, isn't it? Prarabdham has created that body, and the material nature has provided that body. So when the body's purpose is finished, it will automatically go without even asking anybody about it. So so we are discussing that last Saturday, and so it, although it disappears, the same, just like the example we talked about, isn't it? There is a star far, far away from here, millions of light years away from here. That star, when that life is over, the star is finished, it's not giving any more light from that star. But because we are so far away from that star, for us the star still exists. But someone who is close to that star, the light, the star is finished. Isn't it? The star doesn't exist because its life is over. But for us, because we are so far away, the light still exists for us. Similarly, the liberated soul, he's already escaped from the body. His body is finished. He has no more identity with the body. But for us, who in the material consciousness, the body still exists. The body still exists. So this is the same situation of a Jivanmukta. Jivanmukta means one who is liberated. Because of self-realization, for him, material body doesn't exist anymore. Doesn't exist anymore. But in others' vision, the body exists. Naham deho name dehaha. He has no body. He has no body existing. Nija bodoham avyayaha. That only what exists for him is pure consciousness. He exists in the consciousness. So, that is what is called this ashariratvam. Remember, we are talking about nityatvam, egatvam, abhavaviddhatvam, ashariratvam. Ashariratvam is that. Ashariratvam means that state. He has no body. He is but for us, body exists. But for him, the body doesn't exist. Ashariratvam. So, that is the magic. That's the trick behind it. That when question will come that by self-realization, how one will escape from all distress in this world? This is the question, isn't it? Whatever highly realized he is, will he not have the problems with this body, with his own body? And this problem is always there in everybody's mind, isn't it? When we see some highly advanced devotees or jnanis, still we think, why do they suffer like this? They have served Krishna, they have executed a lot of devotional service, and they have practiced it, they have done everything in spiritual life very well, but still they seem to suffer in physical condition and they have bodily problems. So why does that happen? That question will come. So, but the fact is that when self-realization happens, the awareness of the body goes away. as well as the mind, both leaves him. Awareness of the body and the mind leaves him completely. And it is an amazing experience that when self-realization happens, what it does is, it takes the body from you and it takes the mind away from you. You are escape from the body as well as the mind. Both the things, you lose them. But for others, it exists still, but for him, it doesn't exist. For example, once a person asked this question to a sannyasi. Question was this, that if I am realized that I am not this body, for example, I realized I am not this body, and I am, what do they call as Brahman realization? Aham Brahmasmi stage has come to him. I am Brahman. I am Brahmasmi stage. If that has come, why do I get headache still? He said. The question was that, why do I get a headache if I have realized who I am, if I have realized my identity, spiritual identity, a self-realized soul? If somebody has become a self-realized soul, why does he get headache still? This question came up. So the answer he gave was very good. He said, if you have realized that you are not the body, if you have realized you are the soul, then where is the question of head? Head doesn't exist after that. Because he said, if I get headache after that, question was that, will I get headache after I have self-realized? He said, if you are self-realized, then where is the question of head coming there? Head doesn't exist after that, isn't it? So this is how we have to know this, because it is not easy to come out of the grip of the body. It's not very easy to come out of the grip of the body. Therefore, realized soul, they are always in that alert state that this body has nothing to do with them. Body has nothing to do with them. So it is a jnani's position. Jnanis are in that state. That's why they are given that special position Krishna has offered them in the Bhagavad Gita. That for this reason only. So his question was that if you are still experiencing headache, the where you get the head from then? If you are realized already, Aham Brahmasmi. If you realized you are Brahman, there is no head, there is no headache either. Isn't it? So, this is a great mystery. So the great devotees, they have also prayed to Krishna that you have taken control of me in such a way that you have taken away my body consciousness. You have taken away my consciousness of the mind as well. So the body and the mind, if Krishna takes control, then the problem is solved. Then you don't have to suffer anymore with the body or with the mind. Till Krishna takes control of it, when we say jnani or devotee, practically very little difference there. In jnani's case, they identify with the Brahman and realize Aham Brahmasmi. In other words, they have lost the consciousness of the body and the mind. In a devotee's case, he has surrendered everything to Krishna, handed over to him, and Krishna has taken control of the body and the mind. So he has also escaped. Jnani has escaped and the devotee has also escaped. So that is what it is said. So, so long as the mind as well as the body, as well as these two things you have lost it, then you have become perfect. That is our perfect stage. Once you lose this mind and once you lose the body, you have become perfect. In the ignorant state, ajnanam state, if you lose your body, you cry. If in the ignorant state, if you lose your mind, you cry, isn't it? Everybody will tell you also, he lost his mind. Poor man, you will say like that. So, losing body and losing the mind from the spiritual angle, spiritual position, is a profit. That you didn't want it. Because these two are the thing which is causing all the problems. Which one? The body and the mind. Nothing else, isn't it? If you haven't got a mind, you don't have to suffer in this world. It's only because of this mind alone that all problems what we create and we suffer from that. That's all it is. So, this realization that mind and the body is not ours, that belongs to material nature. Material nature has given it to us and made us to live with it. And we think that this is what we are and we continuously work with that. So, these defects of the body as well as the mind, if you impose on the soul, then that's our mistake. It's not the mistake of the nature. Then, as long as you are imposing your identity of the soul, or if you impose the qualities or the characteristics of the body and the mind on the soul, you have to suffer. That's the law. The law is that so long as you impose the problems of the body and the mind on the soul, perfection is not possible. It's impossible. For perfection is impossible. Yeah. The moment you recognize your real nature, that very moment you woke up from the illusion. That illusion is gone. From the illusion or the hypnosis of the body and the mind. Actually, we are hypnotized by this body and the mind. We are not aware of it. That's all it is. We are completely hypnotized by this body as well as the mind. As soon as you wake up from this, and that waking up is the real wake up, that waking up from this body and the mind to the platform of the soul, that is the real waking up. Because while in body while in the body and the mind, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, these three states exist, isn't it? Wakefulness, dream state, and the deep sleep. All these three states exist at that time. But proper waking up is when you have woken up these three states to the three states and come to your state of what is known as the nature of the consciousness of Brahmasmi state, Aham Brahmasmi state. Once you have woken up to Aham Brahmasmi state, then Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti is not effective anymore. Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti is another form of the modes of material nature, isn't it? Sattvam Rajas Tamas. Sattvagunam, Rajagunam, Tamogunam. Those three are manifested in us, in our intelligence, in the form of Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti. Remember, in the Bhagavadam, Krishna talks about that. Jagrat Swapna Sushuptanja Pravurto Gunavartaya Sakshal Vilakshano Jiva Sakshitvena Vinischita. That is that verse. Jagrat Swapnam Sushuptanja Pravurto Gunavartaya. Krishna is saying Gunam is doing that. Gunam creates all these things in the intelligence. But Tasal Vilakshano Jiva. Jiva or the soul has nothing to do with it. It has to only remain as a Sakshi or witness. Sakshitvena Vinischita. So Sakshi state is that state, and till we reach that state, we continue to suffer from this body as well as from the mind. We can't escape from that. It is not easy. It's not easy. So that's why self-realization is the goal, to get there somehow or the other out of this body and the mind. The more we do that, the more we get to that stage, you can say you can make progress in spiritual life. Spiritual life is progressive. But as long as our identification with the body is so strong and the mind, they will give you trouble because they will never be perfect under any circumstances. So that is why once you have escaped from this, then is when that adjective is used, to sarvagadatvam. Sarvagadatvam is at that state. So one who has realized this through hearing process, and then through reflection and contemplation of it, and he has realized that truth, he is in quality as good as Krishna. His realization at that point. Let us understand this. Generally we say we are qualitatively one and quantitatively different. This is all. How do we understand that? Does that mean that I can lift 10 kilo, Krishna can get millions of kilo, he can lift quantitatively? This quantitatively is a problem to understand. Qualitatively, the qualities are the soul. Krishna is the soul, and there is no difference at all. In our position as the soul, there can't be any difference. The soul has the same qualities, isn't it? Soul's qualities are not different. Soul's characteristics. So from that position, if you look at it, the soul is pure. And all these qualities mentioned, sarvagadatval, nityatval, egatval, abhavavidyatval, shuddhatval, all these things refers to the soul. But when it comes to quantitatively, we say that that Krishna has much more strength than us. He can lift much more than us, or he can run much faster than us. Or what does that mean? This quantitatively means. Actually, it is this qualitative side is more important. Qualitative side is more important. Because when you realize that, you will realize also this important point that the soul in its pure form is independent from everything. All these material qualities, what we are attributing to that, does not have any sense at all. For example, just like in the Bhagavatam also you will see this in so many places, and not only in Bhagavatam, in all Puranas also you will find this. If you chant this mantra every day in the morning, you will get these results. It will say like that, isn't it? For example, one of the best prayers in Bhagavatam is Narayana Kavacham. Everybody knows, isn't it? Narayana Kavacham is famous. That is in the sixth canto, you will see. Now, if you read Narayana Kavacham, what does it say? At the end it says that if you chant Narayana Kavacham every day, nobody will be able to hurt you, you will be protected. If if you haven't got a job, you'll get a job or something like, things like that. It is called in Shastram, it's called Bhalashruti. Bhalashruti means, or if you haven't got married, you'll get married. Or if you haven't got wealth, you'll get wealth. Or if you haven't got knowledge, you'll get knowledge. Things like that. A lot of material attractions, material level. That if you are not attractive, you will become attractive. If you are not famous, you will become famous. Like this, so many things. There in Narayana Kavacham, you can see that. There are one or two words is there, the Bhagavatam. Same thing you will see in so many other places also. In Puranam, it's quite common. It is explained like that. Just like in Vishnu Sahasranamam, 1000 names of Vishnu. At the end it says so many good things, what will happen to you if you stand the holy name, if the 1000 names of Vishnu every day. So those things are there for, it's not that they were put there just for to get that benefit, but somehow or the other let people chant the holy name. That's all the motive behind it is. So that some people will come to Bhagavatam and they'll read that. Oh, there is a verse here which says, if I want, it's given there. So at least let them chant the Narayana Kavacham in that way, just to get the people to do it. So only that's the only reason why it is spoken like that. So, but is it like that? Upanishads are saying no. Upanishads are not talking like that. Syal Isharatvam Sadaha Siddhayed. Because here, there it is getting something. Here it is not getting something. Here is taking you back to your true nature, what you are. Getting rid of the ignorance is what's going on here. There's two different things. There, again, it is in ignorance you are expecting all these things, isn't it? All this material success in life or material desires, fulfillment, is ignorance. From the position of the soul, spiritual platform, it's all ignorance. So, self-realization is not like that. Upanishads are saying to us, Siyal Isharatvam Sadaha Siddhayed. Here what happens is, when self-realization happens, along with that, several other things happen. Several other things happen. Isharatvam. Isharatvam means the pure nature of the soul. That means all these qualities of the soul starts manifesting. Eternity, blissfulness, knowledge, peacefulness. All these are attributed to the soul. That will come. So when that happens, that's why it is said like that. Practically speaking, the difference between Ishvara, absolute truth, and us is only in the dress. When we lose this dress, we are controlled by this dress at the moment, isn't it? The human body or whatever body we have got, that body is the problem. It is under the control of that we have this problem, that we are separate from Krishna. We are in a difficult situation. We cry, we smile, we laugh, and we do everything here. Let me somehow or the other get out of this place and go. All this kind. When distress comes, people feel all these problems in this world, isn't it? So, but realized soul, they don't look at us in that way. They know very well that we are as good as they are in quality. That they know. That when they are self-realized, they know we are also like them. Only thing, temporarily there is this coverage on us. They don't see our coverage, they see the soul in us.
We see the, they see the soul in us. And because they don't see us suffering in that way. We see the suffering. Why? Because we are suffering. They are not suffering because they have gone beyond the body. One example, among sannyasis also, there are different levels of realization, isn't it? All sannyasis are not fully self-realized. Some of them may be realized, some of them may be not. Some of them may be in the very early stages of their self, but they have all taken sannyasa. They have come to the sannyasa platform. So the question will come that sometimes sannyasa ashram means, they also have a lot of obligations. Main sannyasa ashram, the obligation is that he has to be fixed on the truth and always act on the platform of the truth. That is the most important thing, platform of the truth. For them, material life is not anymore a consideration. So it so happened that once a sannyasi came, and this sannyasi, was traveling. He has taken to sannyasa ashram and he was traveling. So while he was traveling, he came to a mutt, and the senior sannyasi who was present in that mutt, who was a very great personality, very realized soul, he was there, and this sannyasi who has taken fresh to sannyasa ashram, he arrived in this mutt. So naturally, the acharya there in the mutt has a serious interest to know what he is doing in his sannyasa ashram. Isn't it quite natural? A junior sannyasi, how he conducts himself, his senior sannyasis will observe that. That was the system in the past. So senior sannyasis means junior sannyasis, they will require help in the beginning because sannyasa ashram properly followed, I am saying. So this junior sannyasi came there and the senior sannyasi asked him that, what do you do during the in your journey? He said, I stay in every night in one village. I don't stay more than a night in a village. They call it, they have a name for that called Gramiga Ratri or something. He says there. Then he says, I move Gramiga Ratri Vidhi, they call it. Only one night in a gramam, in a village. That's how it is. That's the state. So he said to him that I stay only for one night in a village. And the next moment, I go from that village. So, this acharya asked him this question. He said, when you're staying in the village, what do you do one night? He said, I perform all my anushtanam. Anushtanam means all the, daily activities, what a sannyasi is meant to perform. Sannyasis have a lot of obligatory duties like that to do anushtanam. And anishtanam means includes the chanting the holy name, Gayatri, and bathing on regular timings. And normally in the past that they lived, sannyasis lived a life very, very austere. They will walk barefooted from village to village, and they live in some temples, outside they will sleep, or if there is a facility provided by the temples, they will stay there. They'll bathe in the temple tank and their maintenance will be very minimum. Their life is very open, in other words. Nobody can find fault in their life because everything is open. You cannot say that they are living a life, what kind of life they are leading is open to everybody. In the modern world, it has become little different because we don't know sometimes what goes on in this world. Sometimes we get confused about it. It confuses people, actually. But sannyasi's life is very open, that everyone can see them, where they sleep, where they eat, where they bathe, and where they go. Everything is open, so nobody can question anything about their truthfulness in life. And that's necessary. So it is like that, this junior sannyasi was living like that. But acharya told him, that's not good enough. You should also, because in sannyasa ashram it's very important that you have to educate people on spiritual life. That's their main duty, to impart that spiritual realizations to them. So at least to engage people to make them realize that I'm not this body. At least to that extent, people should be helped. Because if you don't tell the people, what will happen? they will go on the same bodily ignorance and live in that life, isn't it? So this person who was very junior, he said, I don't know how to tell that to people, he said. This sannyasi was saying. He said, I understand what, because he has no realizations, he said. I find it very difficult how to put it to people, he said. So the Acharya told him, don't worry about it, he said. Acharya never used to tell him from Shastram, you quote all these verses to people. And start people will say, we don't understand what you are talking about. Because generally that's how it is, isn't it? You tell people you are not this body, they say, oh, how can you say that I'm not this body, I'm suffering, I'm... There is a whole thing you have to talk, but it takes a long time to make people understand that I'm not this body. So therefore, what happened? This Acharya told him, I'll tell you a simple story, he said. Keep this in your mind, and he said, started saying a story to him. That was the way this Acharya talked to people. He won't talk to him from Upanishads and things like that. You'll tell him simple stories. Simple stories and talk the truth through that. So what did he say? He said to him that when I was living in my village, the Acharya is saying this, when I was living in my village, there was one man who was in his teens, late 18, 20 years old. He was useless. He couldn't do anything. Whatever he has done, everything was going wrong. So everybody used to tell him, talk about him in the village, that he is very dull-headed. He is useless. Nobody was giving him any work. Nobody was engaging him in anything, and he was finding it difficult because everybody has branded him as useless. So he left the village and went away. Then what he did was, he went and joined one of the circus company. You know who do circus? The famous circus companies there, isn't it? So somehow or the other he got involved with the circus company, and the circus company took him as an apprentice and trained him. And what was his act? He had to walk over a rope which was tied on a very higher level. And while walking on that rope, he'll be dressed in a particular way. You see, because you know when they come in the circus, they paint all the face and put some special hat and special funny clothes they put on, so they look funny. And but they'll be doing all these kind of acrobats, what they call it, the walking over this rope and things like that. Tight rope walking without falling from that, isn't it? So he joined that, got trained, and he was with them for a few years. And it so happened that this circus company has came to the village where he came from originally. Yeah? To a small town which was close to this village. So our man who got this training, he was a little bit nervous to go to his own village. He thought, if I go there, I'll see some old people whom I knew before. And if I see them, he was getting a bit nervous. Because they all think of him, me, as a very dull-headed person from the very long time. So, will they recognize me? So this thought was inside, and he was feeling a little bit disturbed over it. Right. So, in the same circus company, when they come to different places, they will hire some local people to put some clothes on, special clothes, just like you see here in the town center, and all. Sometimes people put the clothes of bear or tiger or elephant, something like that, and amuse the children, isn't it? Collecting money, 10 pence, 20 pence from the children like that. Give some fun. Children find it very interesting. They see a real elephant standing there or a tiger standing there. They find funny to deal with them. So similarly, the circus also hires people like that. From the public, they will catch hold of some people who have no work and give them some work like this. All they have to do is to put this special dress on and move around in the ring, in the circus ring, right? So the show started, and this man, his name is Ramchandra, who has gone away and trained up like this. So Ramchandra started walking on the rope from one end to the other. He has to walk. He was trained for that. But in his mind, he was very nervous. Is anybody there whom I know? He was looking into the crowd. He's looking into the crowd. So with a little bit nervousness, he was walking. And suddenly at the bottom, he saw A tiger was standing there. As soon as he saw this tiger also, he got the impression that there is a fear came to his mind, and in that process he fell from the rope. He fell from the rope. So when he fell from the rope, they took him over and put him on a bed. So at that time, this tiger came up to him and stood there. And the tiger told him, he was frightened who this tiger was. He says to Ramchandra, "Ramchandra, don't worry. I am Krishnachandra," he says. "I'm your friend," he says. So as soon as Ramchandra knew who he was, his fear was gone. Similarly, this is Krishna consciousness, in a simple way to put it. As soon as you realize what somebody is, now you are seeing the external cover, isn't it? The body. When you're seeing the body, we have raga, dvesham, attachment, aversion, and so many other things comes. But as soon as you realize what that person is, it's spirit, soul, nothing to do with the body, it's totally independent from the body, then all the other misunderstandings also you lose along with that. That is self-realization. That's a simple way. So our Acharya told this sannyasi, you explain this story to people and make them understand that till you lose this identity with the body, that's all this is about. So this is this fear or attachment, aversion, all this is there because this dress is there as the body. Once you lose this dress and once you know the person inside, then after that there is no more fear existing. Take this example. The whole fear in this world is based on this, isn't it? Based on the body, that somebody is going to attack us, so we have to defend. What are they? Who is attacking whom? One body is attacking another body. We have no identification with the body. So till we get to that point, we are not this body, this fear will exist. That's why we are saying that in material world, no matter you do anything, you can't make this place perfect. Because the fact that we have got a material body means you have to accept the fear, hunger, lamentation, illusion, everything. Though if you want to completely free yourself from all these problems, the only solution is to realize the truth, what we are. Once you realize that, then you will see that the same problem doesn't exist anymore. That is self-realization. Isha jivayor veshadhi bhida. All these jiva are in different dresses in this world. We identify with those dresses. Tal svabhavado vastu kevalam. But the vastu inside is the same in everyone. It is the same substance. Veshahanada svatma darshanam. As soon as you lose that dress, you realize what you are. And Isha Darshanam Swatma Rupada. And that is when you realize what the truth is. What the truth is. So practically you can see that the difference between the absolute truth and us is in the dress. Is in the dress. So till we know, able to get rid of our dress, what we have got, and that dress goes away, and that dress is in the moment is in the form of false ego. That is our special dress what we have got. So when we lose that and we know what our proper identity is, and then only other dresses also will be seen in the same way. So that's why before we realize what others are, we have to realize what we are first. It is after that we realize what others are. That is the requisition prior to that. So this is, in also it is called as, in Gaudapada Acharya says in the Mandukya Karika, Mandukya Upanishads, is written a famous commentary on that called Mandukya Karika. He says there that actually, strictly speaking, no soul has any coverage. Coverage means avaranam, avaranam. So, everything is without a cover, but nothing covers anything. Everything by its own, when we, in our understanding, if we lose this body, then we are in the platform of the soul. So such a person One who has self-realized, who does not see the body in others anymore, he has given a special name, Niravarana Drishti. Niravarana Drishti means he sees others in a different way. He doesn't see others in the way we see others. We see others, for example, as soon as you introduce somebody, you say, they so and so, or he lives in such and such a place, or he comes from such and such a country, and speaks such and such a language. All the introduction is based on the body, isn't it? All the introduction is based on the body. So those identities with the body, one who does not see that anymore, he is called Niravarana Drishti. That's why if you meet a self-realized soul, if ever you meet some personality like that, don't introduce yourself in the same way you introduce to each other here. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so-and-so from he. For him, it doesn't mean anything that you come from London or you come from America, whatever it is. It doesn't matter to him whether you come from London or come from America, because he's on a different consciousness. He is not seeing you as a Londoner or an American anymore. But you keep on telling him, I'm a Londoner, I come from London. But doesn't mean anything to him. For him, he is only seeing your body, somebody else's body is only a manifestation of the material nature's illusory energy. He's working like that. So, in his intelligence, there is no avaranam. Avaranam means this covering potency. Covering is there in us, and that covering is what is causing this false vision of the world or false vision of others. That's coming from that covering in intelligence, avaranam. So remember, vikshepam, avaranam is the two things which is inside us. Covering potency and the deluding potency. Isn't it? Covering potency and the deluding potency. Covering potency means, examples are given like this because these are very fundamentals in the Krishna consciousness and in the Advaitam also, and also in the Vedantam, everywhere. These two things are very preliminary. That means covering potency means to cover something and not show its proper identity to you. Does not reveal. You are seeing something, but you are seeing something as a false thing, in a false level. In a false level, you are seeing that. That is covering potency. Deluding potency is that you are seeing that, not only that you are not seeing its pure form, identity, you are seeing a false identity, that false potency, false identity, that's the delusion, what we have got. Deluding potency it's called. So, avaranam, vikshepam, two things. So, niravarana drishti. Drishtim jnanamayim krutva pashyet brahmayim jagat. When self-realization happens, jnanamayi, when knowledge comes and realization happens, pashyet brahmayim jagat. What exists in this creation is brahmam. Is nothing but brahmam. Drishtim ajnanamayim krutva jagat ajnanamayim. If our vision is ajnanam, ignorance, then what you see in this world is all ignorance. All ignorance. So, that is why it said here, Shuddhatvad sarva. Now our situation is Ashuddhatvad. That's what we are. Not Shuddhatvad, Ashuddhatvad. Then Abhavavidhatvad, Pabavidhatvad, Bahutvad, Anitatvad, Shariratvad, Egadeshiyatvad. These are all our present quality. Right opposite to what Ishopanishad says to us. What opposite to what Ishopanishad says to us. Just see the problem what we have got to get over. It's not so simple that there is a lot of blocks before self-realization happens to us. Upanishads are telling us Abhavavidhatvad, Shuddhatvad, Egatvad, Ashariratvad as the qualities. All opposite to that is in us at the moment. If you look at yourself, you can see this. Ashuddhatvad, it is purely impure what we are with this consciousness of the body. That is our Ashuddhatvam. Then we are thinking Egatvad. Egatvad means that we become an Egatvad, we think. Why? We are seeing, looking at the whole world and seeing oh, so many living entities, so many, material nature has offered so many different kinds of life in this world. Plants, trees, creepers, birds, bees, so many different forms in this world. And we are completely baffled by all these things, isn't it? So when self-realization happens, these different dresses all goes away. Those dresses doesn't exist anymore. Now, only when you are in the sadhana stage, this dress matters to us. In the sadhana stage, when realization happens, dress doesn't matter. Sometimes it is very interesting to note that. When you see realized personalities, there will be sometimes animals with them. Animals will go to them and spend time with them. It is possible that some of these animals are who have fallen down from their spiritual position. It yoga brashto bijayade, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? There's a word used, yoga brashtam. We'll see the difference between that later. Yoga brashta stage is sometimes due to our asuric nature, demoniac nature, Krishna puts us into lower species. Krishna puts us into lower species due to our asuric nature. That is Krishna's mercy. Why? Because that asuric means, you know what it means, is demoniac nature. Suppose I have demoniac nature, Krishna feels sorry for me and says to me that, look, to fulfill that demoniac desire inside you, the best body is this. He gives you that body at that time. That is how, he is not punishing us as such. Because I have that vasana inside me, desire for a particular demoniac nature in me, Krishna says that body is better for you because you will get purified there in that body. Because vasana has to be exhausted somewhere. So he sends me to lower species. This is one way of going to lower species. The other way is that sometimes you have advanced so much spiritually and suddenly due to some misunderstanding somewhere in spiritual life, something you have done, due to that you have to fall down and come to a lower body. Just like our Bharat Maharaj case in the Bhagavatam. Yeah? You see, you cannot blame Jadabharata for that, what happened to him. He was a great emperor, wasn't he? Bharat Maharaj was a great emperor. And that great emperor, Bharat, he, in practice of his sadhana, somewhere he made a little mistake, isn't it? He made a small mistake. What was that? He got attracted to this deer who got pregnant and delivered the baby. He felt attached to that little baby deer. And then Krishna says, that attachment has gone from, not gone, better to get that body, I take that body. So he has come to that dear body due to this small attachment he had inside. It was not a asuric vasana. There's a difference there. It was not a demoniac nature in him. Something that was good in him, unfortunately, he was not able to discriminate at the right time, the proper way, what he should have done. He lost that goal of, he came to the forest to practice spiritual life and to realize the self. But unfortunately, goodness in him dictated to him that he should protect that deer. And he fell. That was a fall down for him. He has to accept the deer body. So many instances, some great personalities will fall like that. Prabhupada used to say that many of these animals in the Vrindavan have come like that, in that way. They have come like that. And we may thinking, oh, it's such a hog or a monkey, and we make so much feel sorry for them. But actually, yes, we have to feel sorry, but they are in a better situation than us. Because for them, probably this may be the last life. They'll get out of it and go back to, it's a fallen state for them. Many of them it have. Not that all of them, but the fact that it can happen that way. Many, wherever there are great self-realized souls, sometimes you'll see animals around them. And these animals have come like that. So one getting an animal body in that way, and one getting an animal body due to asuric nature is two different things. Is two different things. Due to asuric nature, we get a body, because that is also Krishna's mercy. He is saying the asura vasana is so strong inside that you won't be able to experience that asuric nature in a human body. Best thing is you take the body of a tiger or an elephant or another animal, whichever, or a bird or whatever. Suppose those people, Prabhupada used to say like this, who have so fond of this flying, and they want to become like a bird. Prabhupada says, you will get a bird's body, don't worry. You don't have to struggle so much developing a machinery and manufacture everything. Why all this struggle? You get a good bird's body, eagle or something like that. You can fly as much as you want, because that's your desire inside, isn't it? Same thing with other desires also. So desires dictate our body, in other words, next life. So Krishna is saying, this Upanishad is saying to us that so all this is ekadeshiyatvam. Ekadeshiyatvam means, for the moment we are feeling that we are present in this room, in this particular body, isn't it? That's all we know about ourselves, nothing more than that. But strictly speaking, in the realized state, this room doesn't exist, this body doesn't exist. We go beyond than that, isn't it? All what you are realizing is, I am that Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi is that, the who is present in everywhere. In everywhere. That's what in the Bhagavatam you will see this in few instances. This openly spoken. Tam sarvabodha hridayam munimana tosmi. Sukadeva Goswami, how did he know everything what was going on in others' mind? Sarvabodha hridayam. He is present in everybody's heart. He knew what was going through everybody's mind when he was talking Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit. He knew everything, what is going on in everybody's mind. And that is why he said at the end of Bhagavatam, it is only Sudha Goswami, he has heard Srimad Bhagavatam properly after Parikshit. And that's why he picked Sudha Goswami and said, Sudha will speak Srimad Bhagavatam now in Naimisharanyam. This is that special potency from the realized personality coming out in that way. So similarly, animals also, they say like that. So ekadeshiyatvam means we are present only here, not anywhere else. This understanding, this is called ekadeshiyatvam. That is not our proper identity. Proper in the realized state, we are present everywhere. We are present everywhere. So all these things is difficult till the realization happens. Isn't it? To understand. So, material body is also like that. Today we are thinking we have got this body, we are worrying about the body, we are thinking what will happen to this body, we are thinking how long this body will stay in the healthy state, and what's going to happen. All this anxiety about the body. But actually, from the Krishna's point of view, from the Shastram is telling us, that body is not your manufacture. It has come to you and it will go on its own. You don't have to be concerned about it. So, on the other hand, this is one side of the story. On the other hand, the important thing is to realize that awareness, what we are, that is what actually is remaining with us forever, not the body. Body is going to go, but the awareness will never leave you. You see, out of these two things, body and the awareness, it is awareness that is going to last forever. Awareness means that I am existing. Aham, aham, aham. I am, I am, I am. That awareness, it never leaves you, isn't it? It will stay. Whether you leave this body, next body, or whatever happens, I am existing always. Never goes away from us. So, that everybody has. So from the Upanishad's point of view, it says here, that this experience of mine, who I am, that is already there inside us, very much present inside us. So because of that, because we all have that experience of our own awareness is existing all the time, practically you can see that in jnanam or knowledge is in everybody. It's already there. It's not going to come from outside. This is the point, what is important here. The thing is that we got used to getting from outside everything, isn't it? Outside everything. But Upanishads are telling us that it is nothing to come from outside. It's already there in you. What all required is get rid of something what is not required inside. That is our ignorance. And Krishna also says, and when you look at it, that due to some semblance of this ignorance, ajnanam. Ajnanam in us. And therefore, we are feeling this identification with the body, identification with various other... everything is false. That is the point Shastram is telling us. Everything is false. And that is why this understanding, we have to talk to ourselves and get ourselves fixed on that understanding. Otherwise, it's not going to go. somehow or the other it has come, I am this body, I am this person. So many designations we have come upon us. And we have accepted all of them. And then saying to Krishna, when I am going to get liberated? Krishna is saying, you have taken up all these things, what you are not. Get rid of them, what you have got already. And then you are liberated. There is nothing else to come. No more than that. That's all it is. That is why, if you look into the Bhagavad Gita, you will see, Nadate kasejil pavam nachaiva sugradam vibho ajnana enavradam jnanam tena muhyanti jantava. There is a beautiful verse in the, I think it is in the 5th chapter. If you look, you will see there. These are important verses. Krishna is talking there that Nadate kasejil pavam nachaiva sugradam vibho. Krishna says, 5th chapter, I think it is the 16th verse. Or 15th verse. Is it? Yeah, 15th. Nadate kasejil pavam na chaiva sugradam vibhu ajnanenavradam jnanam tena muhyanti jantava. Translation, nor does the Supreme Spirit assumes anyone's sinful or pious activities. Embodied beings, however, are bewildered because of the ignorance which covers their real knowledge. The knowledge is already there in all of us. That is the point Bhagavad Gita is telling us. You see, Bhagavad Gita is telling us the knowledge of what we are is already there in us. What has happened, it is covered by ajnanenavradam jnanam. That is the important thing. Now, most of our understanding is, most of the people's understanding is, oh, I have to study a lot of books and then I have to get the knowledge and one day it will happen. When that day will come, I don't know. And I am, so that person who has studied the books with this understanding, even after studying the books, he is in the same state as the person who has started studying the books. There is no practically any difference. This is why in spiritual life, it is not that what you have studied matters. What matters is what you have taken in. That's what matters. Most of the people, what we do is, we study a lot, read a lot, hear a lot, but we don't take anything inside. That is very bad. That's not helpful. Because that means that there will be some benefit sometime, but in order to have that, reach that state, what we are talking about, this knowledge, Krishna consciousness, till you take it yourself, this knowledge, when Krishna is saying here, Nadate kasejil papam na chaiva sugradam vibhu ajnanena avradam jnanam tena muhyanti jandavaha. Krishna says, Nadate kasejil papam, that somebody has told us, oh, you're very sinful, 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 sinful. Somebody keeps on telling you what will happen. You will also start thinking, I'm very sinful, I'm very sinful, I'm very sinful. This is how it happens. Nadate kasejil. Krishna is saying, you are not a sinful person. Your identity is not sinful. Sinful is all happened. But that sinful consciousness, what you think you are sinful, must go. Na chaiva sukritam vibhu. And also you are thinking that I have performed pious activity. Or pious activity. And to think that I have sinful or pious activity I have performed. Na chaiva sukritam vibhu. That is also ignorance. You have not performed any pious activity either. All this has to be very clear in the head. Otherwise, it's very difficult when you don't take that seriously. Na chaiva sukritam vibhu. All these problems in this world we are experiencing is only because we are not accepting Bhagavad Gita. That's where the problem is. We constantly saying, oh Krishna, you are so pious, you are so kind to us, and we hear all your nice lively pastimes in Vrindavanam and Dwaraka and all that, and I come and see you every Janmashtami. Yes. That's all very nice. But that's not good enough. If what Krishna is telling us something, speaking from the Vedic authority, authority is more important than anything else. Authority is more important. There is no other... let us explain that, why it is so important. You see, in the Vedic tradition, if you look carefully, if you understand this, unlike in any other process, knowledge is given more value than anything else. Why is it like that? Because as far as the sages and the rishis are concerned, if there is no knowledge, there is no solution to the problem. What's causing the problem is ignorance. And solution to remove the ignorance is knowledge only. Nothing else. There is no other solution to the problem. All other solutions what we are looking for will not come to the take us out of this problem what we are in. Our point is at the moment Ajnanam is there, Ajnanam must go. And Ajnanam can only go when Jnanam walks in, comes in. So Krishna says, Nadate kasijil pabam na jaiva sukhrutam vibhu. Because these verses were spoken in that chapter where Krishna says the karma yogam action, Krishna consciousness, isn't it? So, na jaiva sukhrutam vibhu. It says, there is, you are not a sinner, you are not a pious person either. Neither of them apply to you. So, this is what we have to move away from this misunderstanding, I am sinner or I am a good man, I am a bad person. People will say, if you ask anybody in this world, are you a good person? He will say, some of them will say, I am a very good person. Some of them will say, I am a very bad man, you know. I have done so many bad things and this, that and the other. So, it's either good or bad. That's how the world will present it to you. Everybody will present it like that. I am a good person. Somebody will say, I am a good person. Somebody will say, I am a bad person. So, there is no in-between for them. Because if you say in-between something, they will say, that means you don't exist to you. They will ask that question. But actually, Krishna's position is this. Nadate kasijil papam na jaiva sukhrutam vibhu. You have not committed any sinful activities, nor you have committed any pious activities either. Ajnanenavritam jnanam. The knowledge inside is covered by ignorance. That is the problem. Tena muhyanti jantava Arjuna. Everyone has fallen into that category. Now, that is why in Vedic tradition, knowledge is given more important than anything else. More important than anything. It is that knowledge and realization that matters. Nothing else. Not how much you have preached in this world, how many disciples you have made, how much temples you have opened. They are all secondary. There is no value for that given as much as this. This is the most important thing. How much have you accepted the truth and realized it? That's more important than anything else. Anything else. So that's why Krishna's words, you have to take notice of these things. Krishna speaks, and interesting thing here is that nowhere in Bhagavad Gita you will see Krishna says it's my opinion in that sense. Not its opinion. Always will say, this is how the sages have spoken. This is how the sages have spoken. And that is where the strength is. That's where the strength is. Why? If Ramachandra comes and says something, Krishna comes says something, Shiva comes says something, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says something, and if they are all saying something different, which is not in line with what the sages have spoken, then whether it is Ramachandra, whether it is Krishna, whether it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whether Shankaracharya, we reject all of them. This is the authority. Just see the difference. Unlike other places, in other religions, they'll say, Jesus has said this, or Muhammad has said this, and therefore we have to accept it. That's how others accept it, isn't it? In other, his commandments and the other, in all other religions, it is like that. They have said like this. No, for us it's not like that. It is not like that. This must be understood. Because if you understand this, you can see the strength of the Upanishads behind it. When Ramachandra comes here and says something, it has to be in the same realizations, must agree with the realization what the sages have given in the Upanishads. Krishna comes and tells us, it must agree with everything what is spoken in the Upanishads. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says something, it must agree with the Upanishads. Shankaracharya says something, it must agree with the Upanishads. Nobody can move away from that and speak on their own. It is my opinion. If they say, keep it away. We pay your obeisances to you, but we don't want to hear. This is how it is. This is how Lord Buddha has to go. Buddha's case, this is what happened. Buddha, everything what Buddha has spoken is from Upanishads. If you study Buddhism, you will see so many things what he has taken is from Upanishads. But what happened? Buddha didn't do it actually. Actually, his followers have done that. They created their own one unit, separately, independent from the Vedas, and started saying, we don't accept the authority of the Vedas. This is our realization. It's all starting from us. Everything. So, afterwards, the Acharya says, no. If it is like that, no, that's not acceptable. If you're not accepting the Vedas, we don't accept you. That finishes there. Why is it like that? Because knowledge is the only one thing, proper knowledge will remain for all time from beginning to end. There is no end. It always exists. And that knowledge can never be compromised anywhere. It has to be that. If you are finding out something new and bringing it over, we have to reject it. Because it's not the same. That is why Krishna gives evam parampara praptam. That parampara, what he is talking about is from keeping this in the mind. Otherwise, it has no meaning. Krishna cannot say anything outside that, because these sages who have lived long before, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago, but long before that, the sages have already given their realizations of the truth. They didn't tell us what is the process is. They told us what the realizations are. And that realizations is the benchmark on which everything is made. So this is where these differences, we should notice it when we start understanding Vedic philosophy. Otherwise, we will get, so Krishna has said like this. And then Ramchandra has said something different. So who is the right one? All these questions will start. And then now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is something still different. So if you start asking like this, no, they all have to speak from the same Shastram. What you will notice in their life is, if you look, take to Ramchandra's life, Krishna's life, time in this world, Shankaracharya's life or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, you'll notice one interesting thing. They will always hold on to that authority of the Vedas. They won't speak. Okay, what you have practiced and what you have realized, you can speak. But the authority behind it is what you have taken as the, which is the Vedic literature. Upanishads, Puranas, Mahabharatam, Ramayanam, Brahma Sutram, all that. So, that is why Krishna says here, Nadate kasijil papam nachaiva sukrutam vibhu. Ajnani enavrutam jnanam tena muhyanti jantava. Krishna is concerned, there's only two, ajnanam and jnanam. Ajnanam must go, jnanam must come. Krishna says, as long as there is ajnanam, all living entities are covered by ajnanam. That's all. All living entities are covered by ajnanam. Ajnani enavrutam jnanam. That's all the problem is. Our knowledge is already inside, but it is covered by ajnanam. That is the point Krishna is saying there. Ajnanenavrutam jnanam tena muhyanti jandava. And because of that, muhyanti, all are under illusion. Everybody is under illusion. Because the knowledge is covered by ignorance. Ajnanenavrutam jnanam tena muhyanti jandava. Muhyanti means one is completely in illusion. Therefore, our vision is faulty. Our vision is faulty. And Krishna says immediately after that, if you look at the next verse, Jnanenadu tadajnanam yesham nashidam atmanaha tesham adityaval jnanam prakashayadi talparam. That's another important verse there. Jnanenadu tadajnanam. That ajnanam means that ignorance with jnanam one has to cover. Jnanenadu tadajnanam yesham nashidam atmanaha. And tesham adityaval jnanam prakashayadi talparam. Krishna says there, when, however, one is enlightened with the knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. Prakashayadi talparam, it says. Just like when the sun comes in the morning, how all the darkness goes. Similarly, as soon as that knowledge from inside of the soul comes, then this darkness of ignorance, which is in the form of identification with the body, mind, other living entities, all these things, what we spoke about the soul, ignorance will vanish, will disappear. This is the beauty of the knowledge. So it says here that tesham jnanenadu tadajnanam yesham nashidam atmana tesham adityaval jnanam. Krishna says it, the best comparison, Krishna says, just like when the sun appears in the morning, tesham adityaval jnanam, how darkness goes. We don't know where the darkness is gone, isn't it? When the sun comes in the morning, we don't know where the darkness is gone. It is gone. That's all we know. Similarly, when self-realization happens, the soul immediately manifests in its pure form and prakashayadi talparam. Everything is that ignorance in our deep, deep corners inside completely disappear at that point. How beautiful it is, self-realized state, isn't it? See, in the material state, in the materially conditioned state, if we feel comfortable with the body, or if we had a nice feast to eat, and a good place to sleep, and a little bit of fun, then we think life is pleasant, isn't it? The life is pleasant. Actually, that is not the pleasant life. Pleasant life is this, when we realize what we are. That's only place, prakashyadi talparam. That is proper situation. That is where proper happiness is. That's the point Krishna is making here. So, jnanenadu tadajnanam yasham nashitam atmana tesham adityaval jnanam prakashyadi talparam. Those two verses. So, therefore, so this experience of the soul is in everybody. It's there already. It's not that it's going to come from outside. It's already there. But somehow or the other, it's become covered. It's been covered. That is called conditioning, isn't it? It's covered. So, from Krishna's point of view, even this body has no existence. Krishna is seeing this body only because Krishna is speaking as a self-realized personality, isn't it? That's the absolute truth, but fully from the spiritual platform. What he's saying is that the shariram doesn't exist. He is not looking at us and saying us, I am this body. If you want to find all this out, you have to look at people whom Krishna has been talking to. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, when Sudama came to see Krishna, did you see how Sudeva Goswami spoke about Sudama there? Suppose we are talking about Sudama, what we will say about Sudama? We will say, oh Sudama, poor Sudama, look at his clothes, how poor. And look at his body, he hasn't had prasadam for days together. And why is he suffering like this? This is how our reaction will be about Sudama, isn't it? But look at the way Sudeva Goswami is introducing Sudama into Bhagavatam. Prashandalma jitendriyaha. So peaceful and happy apparently, Sudama. So Sudeva Goswami is not seeing Sudama's clothes and comparing that with our clothes. Or even with Sudeva Goswami's clothes, who had no clothes at all. So he is seeing completely on a different level everything. This is where the difficulty is. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see a lot of places like this. All the people whom Sudama is glorifying are either they have no clothes, or they have no food to eat, or they have personalities whom from our point of view are not worthwhile entertaining even, because they haven't got anything. They are so poor. So, but Sudama is seen like this. Isn't it? So that's why for them that body doesn't exist. Whereas for us, Sudama's body is very concerned to us, great concern to us. Oh, he has suffered so much, he has no food, and all the family members were starving. Why was he going through all these things? Some people even say like this, oh, what's the use of having a friend like Krishna if he is not looking after him? You know, ultimately you have to go and beg with him. But the interesting thing is, when he went there also, he didn't ask for anything. It is Krishna who has forced him to take all these things. Not for him, his wife was finding it difficult to run the house. So that is a little different story. That is what you have to notice there. Sudama didn't ask anything from Krishna. On the other hand, he was more than happy that he has seen him, and he was happy to go back the same way he has come. Isn't it? So that is that realizations makes that difference in life of a person. Big difference it is. When you come to that state and when we are in the present state. Everything what we are seeing now through our current eye and current mind and current senses is all faulty. Everything is not the reality what we are seeing. Isn't it? So that's why it says here. So, so this material body is also is just an appearance in that way. For us, it's just an appearance also. But on the other hand, the experience that I am existing or awareness of me is not an appearance. You see? Material body is an appearance for us, isn't it? It appears now. It appeared some years ago. It will stay for some time. It will go. But my existence is not an appearance. It's always with me in all state. Whether I leave this body or I take another body or go to some other planet or some other place, I still exist. My existence is permanent thing. So, continuous, that is what Krishna calls it as sarvagatattvam. Sarvagatattva means what? That's what it is. So, earlier we mentioned of the, while talking about the soul, we saw that all these qualities attributed to that, isn't it? We mentioned about that. Shuddhatval, pure it is. Abhavavidhatval, that no sins can touch that. Egatval, it is oneness of the soul, everywhere present. Nityatval, it's always permanently existing. There was no time, Krishna says, isn't it? I didn't exist, you didn't exist. It's all from the platform of the soul Krishna is talking about. Otherwise it doesn't make any sense. Suppose Krishna is telling you that there is no time, you didn't exist. And you are saying to Krishna, how can it be? I was born only 30 years ago or 40 years ago. And another 20, 30 years I'll be dead and gone. So you are telling me I didn't exist. No. So that's where you have to understand. Krishna is talking about from the platform of the soul. There was no time you didn't exist. Means there was no time the soul didn't exist. Not the body. We identify with the body, then everything goes wrong everywhere. So that is why it says here, Shuddhatval, Abhavavidhatval, Egatval, Nityatval, Ashariratval. Shariratval, we talked about it. You remember? Shariratval means that in the realized state, there is no Shariram. There is no material body anymore. That is Ashariratval and Sarvagatatval. Because in the realized state, you can be present in everyone. At the moment, we identify with this body, so we are only present here. But the moment you lose your identity with the body, and you identify with Brahman, Aham Brahmasmi comes, then you are present everywhere. Then you are present everywhere. And that is what these examples are pointing out to us in the Bhagavadam. So many Bhagavadam, the message is the same, but it is spoken in a way that people will somehow take it seriously. That's why it's spoken like that. So, Ashariratval, Sarvagatatvadi Vakshyamanam says like that. So, because why it is so important, this awareness? This awareness is the attribute of the soul, Brahman. Brahman's attribute is this awareness. And it is in this awareness that everything else in this creation has manifested. Suppose this awareness was not there, suppose you are not aware of your own existence, this world also doesn't exist for you. Because you are existing, the world is existing. Not that the world is existing, you are existing. Because you are existing, the world is existing. Isn't it? Suppose I am aware of my own existence, and I am aware of existence of the world. Why? Because I am existing. That's where it is coming from. So, wherever the mind, that's what the Shruti is talking about. Wherever the mind go, there the soul is there. The soul is there. Wherever the mind goes. So, mind can only move within this circle of the soul. Without the presence of the soul, mind cannot function. But soul can function without the mind. Mind cannot function without the support of the soul. But the soul can function without the support of the mind. This is the point to be understood. So, Sarvagatatval. So, why Sarvagatatval? It doesn't have to go anywhere. You see, you have to go from point A to point B. Why? Because in your bodily identity, you are not aware of what's happening in point B. When the spiritual identity happens, because you are present everywhere, everything what's happening everywhere is known to you. To you at that point. That is Sarvagatatvam means. Sarvagatatvam is, that is what it means. So then you don't have to go to another place to find out what's happening there. There is no tourism when self-realized. Tourism is all when you are on the bodily concept. Isn't it? Bodily identity, that's when you need tourism. You have to go to some other place looking for a nice Spanish resort or Spanish islands or somewhere else where you can enjoy away from all the trouble here. So bodily identity brings this egadeshiyatvam. That means you are only stuck with one place. But in the realized sarvagatatvam happens, in the realized state, there is no identity like that with a particular body to a particular place either. No particular place, no particular body. It is a realized position at that stage. So, so that is why once you touch that state, then there is no need to propagate anything after that. anything. Propagation is necessary. Moment you touch the deepest core, you touch at the all the recesses of all the planes of that. That you have touched that truth behind everything. Once you have touched that truth, then that everything is known to you. What's happening in the world, what has happened in the world, all these things are known to you at that time. See this preaching, now we talk about preaching, isn't it? Preaching is a big thing. Everybody thinks they have to preach and change the whole world to one day. But when the knowledge is there, to that extent that the realization has come, what we are, then there will be no preaching. Preaching finished. Preaching is as long as you are thinking you are this body and see somebody else is some other body. That's where all this preaching happens. When preaching finishes, when you have understood who you are, then what are you preaching to? Whom will you preach to? That is why jnanis, they don't have to travel like us. That they stay in one place. After realization, they can know what is happening in many things, many people, and why a person is going through that example. If the cause is known, then you will feel that the person, another spirit soul, is another dress for them. Another dress for them. So, in this world also, important thing is to know what is to be known. And after knowing that, everything else, even if you go into a cave and sit there, what is to go on in this world will go on. So, but if you say this to anybody, they will not believe it, would they? They will not believe it, that look, if you realize the self, then every problem is solved. No, they will not accept. They think that, no, first I have to sort out this world. And after that, we'll talk about the rest of it. So this is a misunderstanding, that the world you don't have to sort out. That's not in our control. That the realization of the self is more important than anything else. So, and if you tell them everything, they'll say that, oh, I'm not seeing anything like the way you are talking about it. And if I don't do anything, how will it happen? So, when we come out of this personality level, because it's all coming from that personality level, isn't it? That we start realizing that I am not this so-called personality, what I am referred to. Personality is a big thing, isn't it? Most of us identify, oh, he's such a personality, we say. Then sometimes we say he's a great personality. Sometimes we put all these hats on different people. Oh, he's a great personality. We'll refer to people like that. But that personality is also based on the body. Based on the body. And it is, so this disease won't go away easily from us. We will identify with personality very strong. That's why we said that let's Bhagavad Gita also for personality then. Bhagavad Gita has nothing to do with personality. We say personality development courses, all these kind of things we brought in for developing the personality. Actually, Bhagavad Gita is to get rid of the personality. Of that ego from inside. Ego is that personality inside. How to get rid of that? That's what Krishna is talking about. So, and that Krishna refers to as ajnanam. Ajnanam means misfortune. Ajnanam means misfortune. Why he says misfortune? There is a little bit of disagreements from which angle you look at the truth. Now, Ishopanishad, as you know, I have mentioned before also, there are many major commentaries on Ishopanishad. The same Shankaracharya's commentary was followed by Ramanuja, Madhva, and others also followed the same commentary. What their difference is, little bit important this to know. Difference is, Shankaracharya says there that after realization, the karmam what that person performs cannot be in ignorance. Ajnanam and karmam. Those two things, or in other words, that he has realized the truth. Person has realized the truth. Jnanam has come to him. Once that jnanam has come, it will not go along with karmam. That is his position on that. He is very particular about that, he says. once self-realization has happened, then karmam does not exist for him. This is a very deep subject in Bhagavad Gita. And only if you think and think and think and about it, try to get a grasp of it, it is pretty complex subject this is. Jnanam, realization has happened to someone, I'm not this body. Somebody is self-realized, in other words. And this, in that self-realized state, he is living in this world. Living means he is present in this world, in a particular body. And he is doing various things in this world. How does that happen? That is the question. How does that happen? So, Ajarya Swamiji's point is that because he is realized, he has no kartrutvam. I am the doer. Or I am the enjoyer. That doesn't exist in him anymore. In any of his, in any of his activities. In other words, all his activities are without any motivation. Without any motivation. Motivated actions he cannot do anymore. He cannot do it anymore with a motivation. That means keeping some goal, that is a motivated action, isn't it? Keeping some goal, he cannot function anymore. That is his position on that. He can simply, he will remain in that, his complete state, Purnatvam. He's already realized the Purnatvam in him. Action can happen around him in a natural way. In a natural way, so many actions can happen around him. But he never has any initiative, or he will not do any action in this world out of his own initiative, or expecting that some result must come from that. Motivated action will not happen from him. This is a big thing, isn't it? Can you imagine somebody, for us, can you tell us one action without motivation? 100% motivation, isn't it? We go to office, why? We want to get money. We work, do business, why? We want to get money. And any action, what you perform in this world, is all motivated, motivated action. Realized soul, they cannot do any more motivated action. No more it is possible for them to do it. That means motivated action means what? Immediately what comes? Kartrutvam comes. I am the doer will come. How complex this is, isn't it? Kartrutva, bhoktrutva, raga, dvesham. Four things. Once you identify that I am, once you have some motivation, ownership will come. I am the doer will come. The moment kartrutvam comes, raga, dvesham also will come along with that. Very difficult, isn't it? Raga, dvesham means you will attach, this is good, this person is good because he is helping me, this person is bad because he is not helping me. So this way, analysis begins from there. So Acharyas are saying, Shankaracharya is saying here, that you have, actually if you have realized, then all his karmam is not motivated. He is free from all kinds of motivated act. Karmam will happen around him in a natural way. For example, suppose there is a realized soul, Jnani. He is there, so imagine that. He will have a lot of people around him who will taking his advice or taking his help in, who are desiring for liberation, desiring for self-realization. They will be around him. And what will they do? They will build an ashram first. And then they will appoint themselves as secretary, president, GBC or whatever. All these appointments will start after that. Isn't it? Once they have appointed all this, then they will create this institution around him. He is not starting this, but these others are coming and starting around him, all these things. And then that becomes the norm. Everybody has to follow what they are saying to us. Isn't it? They will tell us that this is how it is. And we have decided like this between ourselves. We have decided, you know, you follow us or you go. You don't stay. We don't need you anymore because you're not following the rules. They made the rules. Jnani didn't make the rule. They made the rule. And that's what's happening all the time. Who made these rules? Jnani, after realization, he sits there quietly. And these people come and create a lot of activity around him, for which you can't blame him for that. Sometimes they run away from this when it gets too much. They can't stay anymore. They run away. They say, we had enough is enough. They go. What else can they do? Because there are people like that. And that's there in this world. You can't avoid it. It will happen all the time. And they will become the authority then. And when they become the authority, it becomes very difficult then. And then you carry it. You will suffer the rest of the life. There's no choice. So,
So he remains in that state. That is why Krishna says here, Vidusham kriyamanam karma akarmaivahi. That action will happen around him naturally, can happen around him naturally, said Vidwan. Vidwan means he is realized. Vidusham kriyamanam karma. Action will be happening through him, but he is akarmaivaha. He is not performing anything. Why? He has no plans that I must get this from this work. He is not thinking anymore like that. That means there is not motivated at all in all his activities. These are all very higher states of self-realization, of course. In the ordinary world, it's very difficult to find this people in that state, isn't it? But everybody who puts a cloth and says that I am spiritually realized, or they put the saffron and says that I am the one authority, you can't accept it like that. That's why it says, Vidusham kriyamanam karma agarmaivaha. So, Vidwan, he is a Vidwan, he may be doing things, and in others' eyes, he may be thinking that, oh, many, many big things he is doing. He has opened so many things, so many temples, so many ashrams, and so many things. Others will say, talk about him like that, isn't it? But his karmam is akarmam. You remember? We discussed karmam, akarmam, vikarmam in the Karma Yogam chapter earlier. It's a big subject there, isn't it? So, karman akarmaya pashel akarmanija karmaya. Krishna says that. Very difficult verses these are in the Bhagavad Gita. Karmani akarmaya pashel akarmanija karmaya sabuddhiman manusheshu sayukta krishna karmakrat. There is a beautiful verse. Everybody, a lot of people read this, and if you read the translation of that verse, it is the 4th chapter, 18th verse, it is. Transcendental knowledge. Karmanyagarmaya pashel akarmanija karmaya sabuddhiman manusheshu sayukta krishna karmakrat. If you remember, we discussed these words. One who sees inaction in action and action in inaction is intelligent among men, and he is in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. We also read all these words and we tell everybody else, Prabhu, you have to see inaction in action and action in inaction. And if he asks you, what does it mean? Well, Krishna says that you have to accept it, you will say. That's all. What does it mean? So, that is what it means. Karman agarmaya pashel akarmanija karmaya sa buddhiman manusheshu sayukta krishna karmagat. So, this is where it's coming from. This is where Ajari Swamiji's position is this. He's taking this authority. He says, if he is realized, then there is no karmam for him. He is free from karmam. Karmam cannot happen from him. What's happening from him is a lot of things will happen around him, or you may be thinking that he is doing a lot of things in which he has no identification with the karmam, that I am the doer, or he is not particular what results come from that. And this you can only observe in the very highly realized souls. You will notice that. There was one ashram, one was run by one Abhedananda Swamiji, and he was like this. He was a very, very advanced personality, spiritually advanced person. Abhedananda Ashramam he founded, and he had a lot of other junior sannyasis with him. He was a very old person, lived with him. And sometimes in the ashram also there will be trouble between the sannyasis also. It's not that everything is fantastic there. When you go and inside, only you will know what goes on there. That how much the same problem what you find in the workplace is actually exactly the same thing happens there. Same backbiting, lying, cheating, all kinds of things happens there also. It's not that that's all pure everywhere, just because the dress is changed. So here what happened was, in his ashram also, sometimes it becomes unbearable, the situation. Some junior sannyasis fighting each other, arguing each other. So what he used to do, suddenly without telling anyone, he'll just leave the place and walk away. The whole place. He'll go away. And then he will come back after a year or so to see what's going on now. Has anything changed? He still finds the same thing going on. He goes again for another month. Like this he used to do. Why? He was like that. Why? He was not bothered. That he was thinking that it is happening. These people are like this. What can I do about it? They are not coming to the understanding of Krishna consciousness properly. So he has to say this to them. that sakarmanya karmaya pashyel akarmanicha karmaya, because his karmam, such a person who is in that state where he is not bothered about the results, that is akarmam. That is akarmam. That is that verse. So sometimes acharyas have different opinion on this. They say that jnanam and karmam will not go together side by side. When karmam is finished, jnanam comes. It is then that jnanam comes. So, so karmam, it is difficult for jnani who has realized the truth for him to come down to our platform and to do karmam again. It's very difficult for him because he has already realized it. What can he do? Now, why we are able to perform karmam? Because there is a lot of raga, dvesham, vasana inside. That is why we are getting up in the morning, running to the workplace and doing so many things in this world. Isn't it? Where is that motivation coming from? It is in that bag what we have brought with us when we got this body. In that bag, and you can only do what is in that bag. You won't be able to do anything else what is not in that bag. According to that bag will dictate to you what you are capable of doing. And whatever that bag is telling you, what is that vasana's bag, what is inside, that bag will tell you what you can do and what you can't do. If you try to do something which that bag hasn't got it, you will fail. You won't be able to do it. But if the bag has got that vasana inside, you will do it very well. So this is that the principle behind it. Vasana shariram, that is what it's called. The body inside, which is the vasanas that's come. So for a person for whom that bag is completely empty, that is what the jnani situation, bag is completely empty. How can he do anything? So if you still find him doing something, it is not coming from that bag, rather it is only from the surface. Externally the body is doing it, or the activities who is happening around him. Because for him, after realization, he has to think that he is this body first, before he does the karma, isn't it? He has to think he is the body. Only then he can do the karma. And then he has to think others as bodies, different bodies. And only after that, he can talk about it. So in other words, he has to come down from his state of self-realization to our state, to engage in karma. So, that kind of karmam is associated with jnanam, which is avidyamayam. Avidyamayam means ignorance. There's the avidya. Avidya is in us, isn't it? All of us have got avidya in us. Avidya means that deep ignorance in us. And that is what is prompting us to do that. And all the jnanis, their karmam is akarmam. Their jnanis karmam is akarmam. Upanishad says, yada vidyat yada abhram yada stanayitaha. So how does such a person function in this world? He is a powerful force, a great force he is. The self-realized soul is a great force. Why is he a great force? For example, you see, sometimes things happen in this nature without anyone coming and doing it. For example, lightning, cyclone, or earthquake, or a powerful drought, or something like that. Material nature, so many things happen, isn't it? Lightning, so many things are happening in this world. There's no person behind it, isn't it? It comes like a powerful force, it does it and it goes away. It does what it has to do and it goes away, isn't it? We give them the name, like Charlie, the hurricane, or Katrina, or whatever name we have given. That is, we want to make some identify with that. So and so is coming, be ready for it. Katrina is coming, or Charlie is coming, so many names we give it to that. But Krishna hasn't named them as Katrina or Charlie or anything like that. It's we who have given the name to that cyclone, or you know, when it happens, you can see always in America, first that comes from there, isn't it? So they always in advance they warn people, get ready to go and all that. So what I'm saying is, they have no personality, they have no identity. They come, they do and they go. What they have to do, they do and they go. Similarly, jnani also is not a personality anymore in that sense, like we are talking about. He is in the realized state. So action is happening like the way all this these different things, like a lightning or like a powerful wind,
or whichever that is happening, in the same way, all his activities are also like that. It's not a planned action from his side. If you ask the reason why Charlie has happened, or Katrina has happened, or something else happened, there's no clear answer to that, isn't it?
It has happened, that's all. So it's a powerful force, and at the same time, there is no kartratvam or abhimanam.
I am the doer, or any pride associated with that doesn't exist. So all these things are happening without any pride, isn't it? Like cyclone happens, there is no pride for the cyclone. When it does and it does and goes, isn't it? It doesn't tell us that I'm going to do this to you, or I'm not going to do this to you, nothing. It just comes and does it and goes away. There is no kartratvam there. Abhimanam is not there. In the same way,
Yani's life also. So in that stage, action is happening, but it manifests, and and in all places it acts as a great force. But in others' vision, there is karmam is there. Karmam is happening, isn't it? Karmam has happened in our vision. They have come, say, when these things happen, say earthquake happened. Earthquake has happened. When earthquake has happened, we ask the question, who has done it? There's no answer to that question, isn't it? Okay, you can say on the Richter scale it was 7 or 8 or all that. Things you can say. But who has done it? There's no answer to that. It is done. It's been done. And it's gone. Come and gone. So similarly, the point here is, this is important to know, that in the realized state your actions are different. They are not the same action what you are performing in the conditioned state, before self-realization. Before self-realization, all the actions what we perform is in ragadvesham, is there, isn't it? Attachment and aversion is there. In order to escape from that, Krishna gave us the solution, what is known as Karma Yoga. That is how Karma Yoga was spoken. Now, if you look into that chapter, you will see two different words. One is called Karma Yoga, and the other one, Krishna calls it as Naishkarma Siddhi. Have you noticed? We discussed this when we discussed that chapter about it. Karma Yoga and Naishkarma Siddhi. Practically, if you look at the two words, you will see where is the difference between the person, the two person. One who has reached the state of Karma Yoga, and one who is in Karma Yoga, and one who is in Naishkarma Siddhi. Karma Yoga is that person who is doing this as a sadhana in life. You understand? For example, karmam, as I mentioned many times before, karmam is the first thing to get it right. When there is our main hurdle. Hurdle is there, the karmam. Karmam is not pure, everything else is messed up. Nothing is going to work. So, Karma Yoga was spoken first in the Bhagavad Gita. So, that Karma Yoga, Krishna says, make it as a sadhana in life. What is a sadhana? Sadhana means executing Karma Yoga with the goal of self-realization. Which means you have to follow the rules, what's been given to us through Karma Yoga process. So, if you follow that and execute Karma Yoga, it is called sadhana. It is a sadhana for you towards the goal of for purification inside. Chitta Shuddhi will come from that. When Chitta Shuddhi happens, all other knowledge, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, will become clarity, will come to us. What Krishna is saying there. Bhagavad Gita is a very difficult book to understand when you get into the deeper level of Bhagavad Gita. On a surface level, yes, you can say so many things. You just chant Hare Krishna, that's it. That's all Bhagavad Gita is saying. So, or you can say, funny people, people are very funny. They can make a lot of interesting conclusions from Bhagavad Gita. One person comes and says, very simple everything what Krishna says, he said. So he says, why? He says, sarva dharmam parityajya. You have to give up everything. He says, that's all. He says, and then what? Yathechasi tatha kuru. Do what you like. So, Bhagavad Gita, both are there in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see 1866 verse. What does Krishna say? 1866 says, sarva dharmam parityajya mamegam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva bhavebhyo moksha ishyami mashucha. So he's saying, I'm following Krishna, he says. I'm not following you. I'm following Bhagavad Gita, he says. But I'll take what I want. He says to him, So if you study Bhagavad Gita like that, you will be lost. It will be very difficult. 66, the first verse is Sarva Dharman Parityajya. He says, I accept that. I won't bother anymore about any dharma. I'll do what I like. Sarva Dharmam Parityajya. Then he says, I won't follow the other three lines, but I'll go to another verse there, where it says here that he says, what did he say? Yadechasi Tathakuru. After Bhagavad Gita is spoken, that was the verse in the same 66th chapter only. When Krishna spoke all this Bhagavad Gita, he says to him that Yadechasi Tathakuru. That is 63 verse. So he used the first line from 66 and the second line from 63. So he is right, isn't he? He is following Bhagavad Gita as well. He says, Sarvadharmam Bharitiji, I have done that. Yathechasi Tadadkuru, I will do what I like now. You do what you like, that's what Krishna is saying to Arjuna. So he says, I will do that now. I will do what I like. So he is also following Bhagavad Gita. You can't say he is not following Bhagavad Gita. Only thing he says, I take the first line of 66, it suits me. And the second line of the, he says here, Idime Jnanam Akhyadam Guhyad Guhyatamam Maya Taram Maya Vimrushaitad Asheshena Yathechasi Tathakuru. Yathechasi Tathakuru. Do like what you like. Do what you like. That's what Krishna says. Krishna says here, thus I have explained to you the most confidential of all knowledge. Deliberate on this fully and then do what you wish to do. So his conclusion is that Sarvadharman Parityajya, Krishna has said somewhere else, I'll take that. And here he says, Yathechasi Tathakuru, and do what you wish to do, I'll do that, he says. So there are people who have come to that conclusions also in the Bhagavad Gita. So what I'm saying is that you can, this is a Shastram, that's why it's called Gita Shastram. When you study Shastram, you need to have a different frame of mind. You need to have a different approach of studying Shastram. Is a little different than studying other textbooks. So it says here that there it is, Karma Yogam is, all this we have to know. Otherwise, what happens is, suppose you take Karma Yogam seriously and think that Karma Yogam is the perfection of life. No, Karma Yogam is also not the perfection of life. Karma Yogam is there to purify a person, to bring this Chitta Shuddhi inside, to purify so that the knowledge later, what Krishna has spoken, will enter inside that person. So that is that. Naishkarmyam is another state. That is a siddhi, he calls it. Naishkarmyam means what? Naishkarmyam means not doing anything. So Karma Yogam is there, Naishkarmyam is there. Karma Yogam is a yogam, Naishkarmyam is a siddhi. That means after realization, what happens? That is Naishkarmya Siddhi. That means after self-realization, he is in the Naishkarmya Siddhi state. Is not in the Karma Yogam state anymore. You shouldn't mix up these two things, because if you mix up, there will be a lot of doubts will come inside. If you mix up these two things, Karma Yogam is a sadhana. Naishkarma Siddhi is a perfection state after self-realization. Both are in karma. Karma Yogam, you are executing without kartratva, bhoktratva, ragadvesham, that is Karma Yogam. Naishkarma Siddhi, you have reached that state where these things are not bothering you anymore. Which one? Ragadvesham, Kartratva, Bhoktratva are not touching you anymore and you are still functioning in this world. So, if you want to find that out, in the 18th chapter, there is a verse, Krishna talks about 49th verse. If you look, you will see there. That Krishna says there, 1849. Krishna says, Asakta buddhi sarvatra jidalma vigadaspruha naishkarma siddhim paramam sanyasenati gacchati. There is a verse there. Asakta buddhi sarvatra jidalma vigadaspruha naishkarma siddhim paramam sanyasenati gacchati. Says here, one can obtain the results of renunciation simply by self-control and by becoming unattached to material things and disregarding material enjoyments. That is the highest perfectional stage of renunciation. That's the translation. So basically, Krishna is saying here, he will reach that state of Naishkarma Siddhi.
This is at the end of Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is talking about. He will reach the state of Naishkarma Siddhi. That means, his karmam, he may be engaged in karmam, but it is not like Karma Yogam, what Krishna spoke earlier, but it is in the realized state after his karmam is on a different platform altogether. And that is called Naishkarma Siddhi. He is in Naishkarmyam state now. He is doing karmam, but he is Naishkarmyam. Naishkarmyam means no karmam basically. No karmam. Whereas Karma Yogi, who is performing that sadhana, he is doing it purely to free himself from the clutches of this I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, attachment, aversion. Four things. So to free oneself from that, he has taken that as the goal. Whereas for a jnani who is realized, this doesn't apply anymore because he is already in that state. So that's why it says that. So 1849, Krishna has spoken like that. And earlier you will see, Yoga Yukto Vishuddhalpa. If you look into the fifth chapter, you will see the same thing. All these chapters are connected. You see, when Krishna is delivering Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, it's a science he is transmitting. A whole science he is transmitting to Arjuna's mind. Arjuna is getting that message clearly from Krishna. So for us who read book, we will get a different understanding or confusion. That's all what we get from that. So if you look into the fifth chapter, Krishna says there that the Yoga Yukto Vishuddhalma, it's the seventh verse. Vijidalma Jitendriya Sarva Bhudalma Bhudalma Kurvan Abhina Lipyade. Look at that beautiful verse. Yoga Yukto Vishuddhalma Vijidalma Jitendriya Sarva Bhudalma Bhudalma Kurvan Abhina Lipyade. In that state, nothing touches him. No karmam will touch him. A karma yogi who is practicing karma yogam, Till he completely get chitta shuddhi and then the knowledge manifests in him, he is not free from the results of the karma. Karma vasana has not left him yet because he has not reached perfectional stage. So in karma yogam, you still have that state where till after executing many years of karma yogam, that's when purification happens. And then that purification leads to hearing that about the truth from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Brahma Sutram, Upanishads and all that. So first Karma Shuddhi happens, Chitta Shuddhi happens. When Chitta Shuddhi happens, one becomes genuinely qualified to hear the message of Bhagavad Gita properly. When he hears that message, that will work in him. And it will eventually lead him to the state where he is able to free himself from the clutches of karma. He will get released from the... So in that state, Yoga Yukto Vishuddhalma, Krishna says here, Yoga Yukto Vishuddhalma Vijidalma Jidendriya Sarva Bhudalma Bhudalma and Kurvanapi Nalipyade. Sarva Bhudalma Bhudalma, Krishna says. Because at that time, he is already in a platform of self-realization. Sarva Bhudalma Bhudalma. He is only seeing the soul in everyone. Kurvanapi nalipyade. Whatever he does, it will not stick to him. It will not stick on him. So you can see this verse, text 7 and this text 49 in the 18th chapter, have a relationship there. Kurvanapi nalipyade. And the same Kurvanapi nalipyade has come to Ishopanishad also. If you look into Ishopanishad, you will see there. There is a verse there, Krishna says, that you can perform. The message is the same in all the books. The message is the same, but spoken with a little differences, isn't it? The little differences. If you look into Ishopanishad, second mantra, that is how it says, Kurvan eveha karmani jivishek chadam shadam samaha evam toi nanyadosti na karma lipyade nare. Karma will not even touch that person who has reached na karmam lipyade nare, he says there. So, anyway, coming back to this point, Krishna says here, na heva lakshanam, lakshanam atmano yadhalmyam, how to get this Swarupam. Swarupam means our pure identity as the soul. That is what we are concerned about, isn't it?
Naheva lakshanam, lakshanam atmano, yadhatmyam, ulpadyam, vigaryam, apyam, samskaryam, kartrutva bhoktrutva rupam va yena karmasheshada
syal. So, let us understand this. Karmam, what does karmam does? Karmam is divided mainly into four, isn't it? That they are, all karmam in this world falls into these four categories. It is mentioned like this. Ulpadyam, vikaryam, apyam, samskaryam. That is how it is titled. For example, samskaryam. Samskaryam means you can purify something. That is a karmam. Anything can be purified. Just like you take the crude oil and you purify that to get petrol from that.
Similarly, there are various processes in this world which you do to just to purify the thing, isn't it? You purify it. That is called samskaryam. Then you have got what is called as utpadyam. Utpadyam means manufacturing. You can manufacture various things. They are all karmam. Manufacturing is all karmam. Just like farmer, he produces things. The industrialist produces things. And various things, what is produced and created in this world, that all fall into this category of ulpadyam. So ulpadyam is one thing, samskaryam is another thing. Then there's called apyam. Apyam means that you can attain that by doing things. You can reach a particular stage. You can reach a particular stage. That is apyam. And then the last one is vikaryam. Vikaryam means something can transform into another form. That is vikaryam. For example, milk can turn out to be yogurt by transformation, isn't it? That is vikaram. It changes its properties. It's called vikaryam. So, apyam, vikaryam, samskaryam, and ulpadyam. Four things are referred to as the... So, and along with that, kartrutva bhoktrutva rupam vayena karma sheshada syal. That kartrutva bhoktrutvam, when it joins these four things, that means these four karmam, four kinds of karmam, that is what we call as karmam. Kartrutva vayena karma sheshada syal, nothing else apart from that. When we address something as karmam, that includes all these things. So, for karmam, what you have to do? You create something, you attain something, you transform something or refine something. That's what it does. And but none of them, this is important. All these things are relationship with the karmam. But you can't do any of these things with the soul. You see? With the soul, karmam you cannot do. With the soul, you cannot do any karmam. Because soul is nothing to do with all this. Soul is not to be purified because it's already pure. Soul is not to be manufactured because it's always existing. Soul is present, nothing to achieve for the soul because it's always in its perfection state. You have to achieve something when you are not up to that, isn't it? Not only when you have to work for it and to attain that. It doesn't happen with the soul. So soul, all these properties can only exist with the karmam. They cannot exist with the soul. Why we are breaking up all these things is, if we don't speak like this, we will mix things with the soul all the time. Just like you mix the body with the soul now, isn't it? We have mixed the body with the soul. We have mixed the mind with the soul. Similarly, we will also mix the karmam with the soul, which we always do. Anytime when I have done this, I have done that, people will say all these things. When that means I have identified with the body and body has been doing it. That's all it means. So, so doership is not possible for the soul. Nor enjoyment of the results is also not possible for the soul. Soul cannot have any of these things. So, idea of saying all these things is that right from the beginning of the Upanishad, if these points are clear, we will not mistake things what is spoken in the Upanishads as though it has something to do with the body. Normally, our tendency is, we'll read some book, and what do? We'll think, oh, this book is saying like this.
I have kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, all these kind of things is talked about that. And our normal tendency is to identify everything with the body. But Ishomanishat always is make it very clear that these identifications, what you are doing with the body, must stop somewhere. Must have to stop. So they say to us that all these attributes of the karmam, where you are thinking that generally karmam is spoken in this way, because karmam is a very big field, isn't it? It is such a big field, this thing called karma. And if you leave everything else, it's the most powerful force in this world, is it not? It is through karmam that all of us are functioning in this world, operating, doing things, various activities all goes on because of karmam alone. All the wars we fight, all the, we go to the moon, we go to the sun, or we go to other planets, all this is karmam. Karmam is that is moving us to do all these things. Developing the technology, developing the science, various things. Anything you take in this world, it all fall into this category, what is called karma. It is only because of this compelling force inside, urge, karma, that all this world is going on in this way. Isn't it? So, we should not mix this with the soul. That is the point Upanishad is making to us very clearly first. First step, it wants to tie you down there, that it is not through this karmam that you will reach that point of the soul, what we are talking about. Because the urge for karmam is so powerful in us and so strong in us, the same consciousness we will shift to the soul as well. So therefore it says here, put the whole thing called karmam in a locker, lock it up and then come to understand the soul. So, at the moment, what we have got here is, we are experiencing the soul. We are experiencing the soul. The more and more you study Upanishads, you will find there is no discussion about karmam at all, anywhere. There is no discussion of karmam at all. Karmam has a limit. You have to leave it behind at that point. If you drag that with you rest of the life, thinking karmam, karmam, karmam all the time, you will never get out of it. It will carry on with you. So, to be situated on the platform of the soul and to talk is a difficult thing. Then the question will come, who is speaking? Isn't it? The question will come, who is speaking? Or who is experiencing? All these questions will come. So, if you say that I was on the spiritual platform for some time, and then the question will come, who was that I? Who was in the spiritual platform? Because these are subtle things in spiritual life. At the moment, what we know in our present state is, I do something, I experience it, I lost it afterwards. This is how everything in this world is at the moment, isn't it? I worked for something, I got it, I enjoyed it, and I left it. This conditioning is strong in us all the time. What Ishomanishat is saying to us is, once you realize the self, then there is no more, I got it, I enjoyed it, I fell down from that. That doesn't exist anymore. You got it and you are there. That's it. There ends the chapter. There ends the chapter. That is a big difference. You see, all other books, for example, you study physics, chemistry, or biology, or any book, or books of science, or any science related to astronomy, or anything like that, if you study, you study it first, you take it on board, you experiment it, and if you find it's right, you are accepting it, isn't it? You are accepting it as the truth. And therefore, you honor the science, you glorify the science. Yes, science is truth, you say. But the difficulty in spiritual life is different. In spiritual life, it is not something that you conduct an experiment and conclude that it is correct. It's in spiritual life, it is that you experience it, and then there is no more conclusions after that. It's finished. Once you experience it, that's it. That's what you are then. So it's a shift of yourself, your own position from the current situation in ignorance, avidya, to vidya. Jnanam, jnanam to jnanam. That is the difference there. And in spiritual life, if you have realized something, you won't be able to come back and tell others, look, I got realized. And now I'm similar to you. We are in the same boat. No, it's not like that. Once you have realized, then you are in a different state. you are not in the same state as the conditioned soul. So therefore that relationships also changes.
So so this is why it said that so
people will say we make all these mistakes in spiritual life because when we don't fully know, we go others say what they are saying and we go follow with them, isn't it? What they are doing. Others are doing it, so I'll also do the same thing. Somebody is chanting 64 rounds, so let me also chant 64 rounds. Or somebody has gone to Vrindavan, I should follow, catch the next flight to Vrindavan. So this is how our spiritual life is running in this world. Not based on any logic or others are doing it, so it must be correct. Or if some sannyasi or guru has got 10,000-20,000 people following him, we will also follow him. Let it go where it goes. This is how it is, the spiritual life in this world. It's not based on any proper understanding of things, isn't it? It goes like that. So Upanishad's point is that a person who is on a deeper level understands things. He asks this question, what is this experience is about? So, or in other words, this question has to come back. Who is the person who is experiencing? Or who is the person who wants to know things? Or who is the person who wants to experience it? So that, that knowledge is not from outside. That person is the one who is asking this question. Who is asking this question? So sometimes after experiencing spiritual life, some people will say, "Oh, he is saying that he has realized this, but I am not getting it. What shall I do?" So this will come. And who am I? So there the question comes, is these two people exist? So very gross intelligence, people with a very gross intelligence, they will wander around all over the world thinking that, oh, I'm going to get it sometime. So many times I've been to Mayapur, I've been to Vrindavan. One day I will get it. I don't know when it will happen, but I'm going every year there. I'm showing my face to everybody there. And if not, I'll go to all the other holy places. And then they will say, I've gone to all the four dhams, Badrinath, Kedarnath, Gangotri, Yamunotri, I've done that. They'll say to others, I've done all that, but nothing has happened. So I didn't find the truth yet. So truth is not something you can go and pick it up from somewhere. That's the first thing. You can go to all these places, not saying that going there is not going to help. That may strengthen your austerity and penances. I'm sure if you go to Badrinath and Kedarnath, some austerity has to be performed. Otherwise, you couldn't go. But realization of the truth is concerned, that's a different thing altogether. That's a different thing altogether. Okay, if you are reading Puranams, say Shiva Puranam or Padma Puranam or Srimad Bhagavatam, naturally there is a curiosity to find out where all these things have happened. And people are still discussing where Hiranyakashipu has appeared. Did he appear in this planet or did he appear in that planet? Now, what difference it makes whether he appeared here or he appeared there? How is it going to affect your life and my life? Something that has happened in the Satyayugam. Now, our spiritual life is like this. This investigation of everything. Where it happened, when it happened, how it happened, who are all there, and things like that. This is our spiritual life at the moment. We won't take the serious things inside, what Bhagavatam has talked to us. So when Hiranyakashipu is talking philosophy, we won't say, that's Hiranyakashipu is talking, what do I have to do with it? But remember, Hiranyakashipu is more advanced than us. He made it in 3 lifetimes and he got back. We are still here. So that's the difference. All of them, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, and Kumbhakarna, Shishupala, Dandavakra, and Kamsa and all that, we think that they are big demons, aren't we? We think, oh, they are nothing compared to us. But at least they may be demons, but they did got what they want at the end. And we still haven't got anything to show, any record, that any sign of us getting out of this place yet. So the point is this, that the knowledge is something that Krishna says here, Stula Buddhi. Stula Buddhi means gross people. People who are very, very gross, who can't understand the finer side of spiritual life. They will wander around all over the world, unable to understand what is Upanishads are saying. They will simply say, I don't want to hear all these things. That is all too much for me. I'm a simple person. I want to follow the My Guru Maharaj just told me like this, don't do anything else, just do this what I tell you and I'll just do it. I won't do anything else. I won't ask any question. So he has no problem, I also have no problem. We are both well, relationship is very good. There's no trouble at all. And he has promised me that he'll take me back. And so I'm on that strength of that certificate, I'm carrying on. If you live that spiritual life, God knows what will happen. Only Krishna knows what will happen. So let's not get bogged down by all this kind of understanding. What is Krishna is saying here is that attention must move from this body to the soul. And every time this question must come inside, that who am I doing all these things? See, we have this big problem in us. It's a big problem. What is it? We hear and we keep it like physics, chemistry, another subject in the book. We won't take it into our life and think that, does it apply to me? No, I'll continue as I am. Those things that were spoken for somebody else, not, it doesn't apply to me. Then what is, that is not Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is what Krishna is saying to us, so many valuable things. And message is the same. One message is coming through Upanishads, Puranam, and Brahma Sutram, and the Bhagavadam, and through Itihasam, Mahabharatam, Bhagavadam, Ramayanam, everything. The message is one and one alone. That is to get us out of this body into the platform of the soul. That's the goal. But the problem is that if it's spoken in a very straightforward way, nobody will take it. Nobody will take it. That's why in Upanishads, when it's spoken like that, people find it very difficult to get that point across. So, knowing our problem, what Vedavyas did was, he expanded from this principle in a big way in the form of Puranas, he just come out. All bringing all the stories, pastimes, and no matter whatever is available. Because to feed to our vasana is different. Our vasana is not very spiritual. Our vasana is very material. Isn't it? Very material vasanas we have inside. We have to recognize that. I'm very much attracted to the body. Very much attracted to the maintenance of the body. Comforts of this life. Mental happiness. Sense gratification. These are the vasanas inside. So to feed these vasanas, Upanishads won't help very easily. Therefore, the Upanishads principles in the Brahma Sutra and Upanishads, he had to put it to us in a fashion or in a way, in a much more elaborate level, in the form of stories, in the form of the historical side, and giving us all the history of the great kings who ruled this world, how they ruled, what all happened in their life. What does it matter to us now? What some king has done million years ago in this world? What does it matter to how many times he got married, how many children he had? All this hasn't got any significance today to me. No. They've come and they've gone. No, in Bhagavatam you will see so many places like that. Isn't it? Whole of ninth canto is nothing but this king, his son, this king, his son, this king, his son, this king. Like this it goes on and on and on and on. Now, all those names are there and the activities of all these different kings also. Why is it like that? To keep us in the boat. So we don't run away from there. Otherwise, if simply Upanishads are spoken, then nobody will be there to listen. So it is only out of his causeless mercy to us, all these Puranams have spoken in such a way that somehow or the other, our attraction falls into that. So many self-realized souls also, they will if you look back into their life, you will see that they had to go through all these things. Sometimes after self-realization, say a personality who is self-realized, already the truth, he is living. But those who are looking for self-realization, living with him, if you observe their activities, they will be different. This is the interesting thing in spiritual life. In spiritual life, the one who is self-realized, his life will be different than one who is aspiring for self-realization. Once it so happened in an ashram that there was a Mahatma living there who already had who already realized the truth. He was living there. So he had many other people who are practicing spiritual life there in the ashram. The ashram mahatmas won't tell you every morning, every day, oh, you get up at this time and ask you, have you finished your waiting? Have you attended Mangalarti? Have you taken prasadam? Have you heard Bhagavadam? Like that, they won't ask you. Mahatmas will only, you can go to them, observe their life and their stability in their realizations, how stable they are in their realization, and that's what you observe. Their peacefulness inside, that shanti inside, renunciation inside, the knowledge inside, that conviction inside, and various things like that. What comes from them, that shanti you experience in their presence, that is the symptom of that self-realization, isn't it? So a self-realized soul lives a life like that, and that's enough. Others get inspired by that, and they come and they hear about various sadhana processes they follow. So one person was there who was doing this. He was practicing, he was in the sadhana stage. Sadhana stage is a different stage than the realized stage. In the realized stage, there is no sadhana to perform, isn't it? He's already realized the truth. What sadhana is there to perform? Sadhana is only up to realization. Once you have realized the truth and you understood what you are, I'm not this body, then what more sadhana is needed after that? There's no sadhana to perform anymore, isn't it? So this Mahatma who was in that state, the others were coming to him. So one of them had heard about meditation. So what he used to do, from the ashram, he won't stay with others. He used to pack his breakfast nicely and then walk few miles away to the forest on a hill, mountain, and go and sit in a cave and perform meditation there. And when he's hungry, he will have his breakfast or whatever he has brought with him. And then for hours and hours, he used to spend like this whole day. And in the evening, he will come back to the ashram after the day's sadhana, what he was performing there. So this Mahatma in the ashram was noticing this. He was doing this every day. And he is serious. He is very sincere also. This junior sadhana person who is doing this. He is very seriously doing it. So one day he told him that you don't do this anymore. You stop this meditation, he said to him. So he says to him when the Mahatma used to go that way for his walk, he used to walk here, there, everywhere, and this person will come out of the cave where he was practicing meditation and pay his obeisances and everything to him. So one day, this Mahatma told him, stop all this meditation, he said. So he said to him, he says to the Mahatma, look, I want to come and see you every day and hear from you more, he said to him. So Mahatma says to him that, don't come anymore, he said. Don't stay in the ashram either. Go away and stay far away somewhere. Don't come here anymore, he said. So he has taken the instruction seriously. He went away. After staying there for a month or so, he started thinking that I'm feeling the separation from this guru or the Mahatma from whom he was trying to follow. So one day he came to see this Mahatma. So Mahatma told him, don't come again here, he said. I don't want to see you anymore, he said. So then he got very hurt. He said, why are you telling me like this? He says that I have come from you to hear from you that you have reached such a state in self-realization and I am not experiencing anything. So Mahatma says to him, how will you experience? Because the way you are doing things is like that. You will never experience it, he said. He says to him, you are coming to me. Are you a believer or a non-believer? You know these two words exist, isn't it? In Shastram also they call Astik or Nastik. Are you an Astik or are you a Nastik? He said, believer or a non-believer? I think that's the English words you can use close to that. So he got surprised. He's asking me this question. If I am not an Astik, if I am not a believer, will I be here for so many years in this ashram? He has spent quite a long time by now. And I am here all the time and he's asking me this question, do you believe or not? Are you a believer or non-believer? So he says to him, why do you ask me this question, that whether you are a believer or non-believer? He says to him that from all your activities, I have concluded you are a non-believer. You are a non-believer. His answer to that is, he explains there like this, that once you have not realized the self, after a long period of time, still thinking that I am separate from the self, somebody else, that means you are an atheist. Practically you are an atheist. We say, I accept Bhagavad Gita, I accept Bhagavadam, but nothing I am accepting in my life, then I am an atheist. That is the point he was making. When Krishna is telling us so many important things in Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavadam, but we don't give any attention to any of those things, and still I am saying, I am a devotee, I am a devotee, I am a devotee. What devotee is that? And that is what he was pointing out to him. I have told you, he said so many times, that once you start seeing separate from the truth, because as soon as you accept that awareness I am, consciousness I am, Aham Brahmasmi, after so many years, if you have not even accepted that and still thinking that, oh, I have to come and see you so that I'll make some spiritual advancement, if you start thinking like that, what is going to happen to you? When will this come to an end, he says to him. So this is how he was talking to him. He says, any moment, anyone who sees that he is different from the truth and start identifying with the body, he is an atheist. Atheist definition in the modern world is different, isn't it? In the modern world, how do we ask somebody, are you a Hindu or a Christian or a Muslim? He says something, whatever he is, he says to us. And are you a practicing Hindu or a practicing Christian or a practicing this? He'll say something, I am practicing this religion or that religion. Ah, okay. That means you are a believer, we put it. No, that is not the Vedic standard of believing. Believing has no meaning here. That is what I'm saying. Knowledge is, you have to accept it. And accepting that knowledge and living on that knowledge, then you are a Nastic. Otherwise, you are all Nastic. Every one of us are Nastic if you don't accept what Krishna is saying there. This is the difference in the Vedic presentation of the truth. It insists that the identification with the body and to live in that bodily identity all through the life without caring for anything what Krishna has spoken is a sign of atheism. It will develop into atheistic nature. So that is why Krishna says here, anytime one who is accepting the truth and staying in that platform, Swarupanishtha, it is called Swarupanishtha. One Swarupam is, I am spirit soul. Anything disturbances come in this world to me, I have to accept that it is not happening in my Swarupam, it's happening in my mind. This basic understanding at least should be there, that it is happening to the mind, it's happening to my body, but it's not happening to me. That's why I'm saying, I'm not this body, body is not mine, the body is not for my enjoyment. All these three principles were repeated many, many times, isn't it? I'm not this body, body is not mine, and body is not for my enjoyment. So if we accept this, and also we have to learn not to accept the material disturbances in this world to come and destroy our consciousness. Because consciousness, awareness is based on the soul. It's coming from the soul. Difficulties what we experience in this world are in relationship with the body and the mind. They come from the nature, from the material nature. That is what is causing the problem. It is not coming from the soul. It's coming from the material nature. So what is happening to us in the process of identifying with the body, even when difficulties and distress is coming, we are imposing that on the soul and completely thinking that soul is suffering. Soul is experiencing that. So this clarification or clarity is required to be cultivated at all stages in spiritual life. Otherwise, continuously, we will simply suffer in this world for want of this understanding. That is what Krishna is saying here. Nadate kasijil papam na chaiva sukhrutam vipu ajnanena avrutam jnanam tena mukhyanti jantava. So after saying that, Krishna says that anyone who is in the platform of self-realization or who has some realization, he should not looking for another truth outside somewhere. There is no other truth to be read. Truth is realized to be inside himself. So, so one who does not, normally we say somebody is a Nastic or non-believer, whom do we say? We talk about people who doesn't believe anything outside. So we say, somebody says to us, I don't believe in God. So our concept of God is, either in the form, say, Krishna or Rama or Jesus or Allah, any names you've given. So we ask somebody, you believe in any one of them? He says, no, I don't believe any one of them. And we brand him as non-believer, atheistic, isn't it? We call him atheistic. But Shastram is telling us, atheism is not based on that. Vedic philosophy is, whether you believe in Rama or whether you believe in Krishna is not the important. Do you believe in the soul? That is more important. Do you accept that the soul is your proper identity? Once you have realized that, you don't have to think about all the other things. Because once that realization happens, then you know what you are. That's more important. So our modern world, when we talk about religion, we talk in that way, isn't it? We ask people, and then we take the census and say, 80% Christians, 10% Muslims, 10% Hindus, or 5% Sikhs, and like that we make list, and people think, this is how much religion people have got. All this is all nonsense. It has no meaning really. Okay, it is for accounting purposes you can use it. Otherwise, it's no use, isn't it? For to know how many people following what tradition and all, that's fine. But apart from that, as far as truth is concerned, none of them is the truth. Because Shastram is telling us you are neither Hindu nor Muslim nor Christian. That this is the Vedantam's beauty is there. That there is something, that awareness inside, which is actually nothing but the consciousness, which is the supreme truth. And that alone is the truth. Hindu, Muslim, Christian, all this is not truth. This is all body, bodily identity. And to identify with that thing and to propagate religion is wrong. Is wrong. That leads into all kinds of misunderstanding and then trouble from there. So that's what I said here. So Upanishads is only interest in that side of self-realization. Upanishads are not interested where you are going after death, what will happen to you after death, and whether you will perform this austerity penances. That's not the question. Sarvalpaha Upanishadaha Ubochadad. All Upanishads finish there once you have realized that truth. So, after showing our pure identity as the soul, all the Shruti or Vedic literature pay their obeisances to you and then they go. They don't have any more to talk to you anything. This is the beauty of the Upanishads literature. Upanishads, Shruti, Brahma Sutram, all, they will take you up to that point of pointing out to you who you are, what your identity is. After that, they pay their obeisances and they go. You don't need them anymore. They don't need you anymore. That is that beauty of the self-realization process. Because this is our identity. That is the only thing they are pointing out to us and we are complete. And this realization is already there in us. This is the beauty. What we are is known to us, is there inside. You're already that. And that's why you may have heard about this along with Aham Brahmasmi. Aham Brahmasmi is a state, isn't it? If you remember in the Bhagavad Gita also, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Na Shochadi Na Kankshadi Sama Sarveshu Bhudeshu Madbhaktim Libhade Param. Prabhupada writes there that Aham Brahmasmi state is that. That I'm reached that state of Aham Brahmam, I am Brahmam state. And that similarly, when we come to the Aham Brahmasmi state, you will see Tattvamasi also at the same time. Tattvamasi is from another Upanishad, which is one of the Mahavakya. What does Tattvamasi mean? Tattvamasi means, after the Aham Brahmasmi realization, when one sees it is the same Tattvam, what I am, is others also. Others also are the same Tattvam. So, in the Jnana Margam, when the disciple goes to the Guru, after he realizes the Tattvam, Aham Brahmasmi stage, what the spiritual master shows to him next thing is this Tattvamasi. When he has come to this realization of Aham Brahmasmi, he realizes Tattvamasi. That means everything else, all other living entities, everything in this world is the same Tattvam what he is made of, Tattvamasi. So, Shruti or Vedic literature, their job is finished there. They don't have any more work after that. So why does this happen? Why does this, that we are not getting there, that state? That's what it says here. We forget because as soon as the false ego has come up inside, Vithya Abhimanam, I am this person, And this Brahmam, Brahmam is what? Brahmam means this illusion that so many things exist in this creation. And in that process, I've forgotten my real identity. So, as long as we give importance to this self-realization process, that situation in the self-realization is not possible. It's not something you can study book and get it. You have to put that effort into that vijaram, atma vijaram it is called, or whichever process you follow. For a jnanam, jnani, it is the continuous realization of the truth from the Vedic literature. Or for a devotee, the process is different. The devotee says, I cannot get it on my own. I have no other shelter except Krishna's mercy, and surrendering everything to Krishna. And by Krishna's mercy, it comes. That self-realization happens to him. This is the important thing here. So, that is why in the Bhagavatam you will see there, as long as you are busy with vyavaharam in this world, it is not possible, or in other words, karmam. Karmam is vyavaharam, isn't it? Vyavaharam means karmam. As long as karmam is important, it is not possible to realize this truth. Jadabharata says this in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you look, you will see there when he was talking to Rahugana. Because Rahugana was thinking, I am a king, so I should have priority over others. This is the mood he is going to Jadabharata. Jadabharata is saying, that's all fine. That is with the body only. This business of the king is only for the body, not for the soul. So if you look into the fifth canto, when we are discussing about Bharata Maharaj, you will see there, Bharata Maharaj told this to Raghugana very point blank, bluntly put it to him, that don't walk with this misunderstanding and looking for self-realization. That is the straightforward answer to that. He says here that tayodidam vyaktam aviprabdham bartu samesyat adivira bharaha gandur yadisyal adigamya madhva pivedi rashau navidam pravadaha stavilyam karshyam vyathayam adhayascha kshutralbhayam kaliricha jaracha nidra retir manyuraham madashujo dehena jadasahimena santi. So he says, stavilyam karshyam vyathaya adhayascha. Stavilyam means getting fat, karshyam getting thin, or body which is losing its fat nature, or it becomes thinner and thinner. Stavilyam karshyam vyathaya adhayascha. The disease for the mind and disease for the body. Kshutrat bhayam kaliricha jaraja. Fear, hunger, lamentation, thirst, kali icha jaraja, desires and old age, nidra reti manyu aham madashucho, sleep, and similarly desire to enjoy this world, all these things madashucho, and fried from that, aham madashucho, dehena jadasahi mena santi. These things are for one who has got a body. Yeah, only one who has got a body has got all these things. Not for one, Jadabharata says to Rahugana, because in a subtle level, Jadabharata was telling Rahugana, you are just a fool. Instead of telling that on the face, he is putting it to him. Because Rahugana is sitting in the palanquin, isn't it? And then he came down, seeing that Jadabharata was a he made him to carry. Can you imagine a disciple making the guru to take his palanquin to carry him? So this is a type of disciples they were. That the Jadabharata had to carry the palanquin, and in that process Jadabharata got criticized by other three people. Four of them were carrying, wasn't it? Jadabharata was one of them. So other three complained to the king in the palanquin that Jadabharata is not listening, he's not walking properly. He should be corrected. He should be chastised. The king opens the palanquin and looks and finds Jadabharata is carrying this and chastises him. Then still no change continued. So he comes out of the palanquin, but suddenly he realized this is not an ordinary person. Seeing the Jadabharata's calmness, undisturbed nature, And because the king had knowledge, at least to observe these things in a person. So he pays his obeisances to Jadabharata and asking for instructions from him. Isn't it? It is then that he started saying, what's wrong with me? So he says to him these verses. That is why this has come. And he says here that the Nasurayoni Vivaharamenam. He says here. Jadabharata says him, Nasurayoni Vivaharamenam. Says that the once you have come to that situation, he says, there is no question about about the self-realization state is such. He says, there is no question of going back into the material bodily again. So if you read that chapter, he says here, Nasurayohi Vivaharamenam Tattvava Marshena Sahamanandi. He says, Akovida Kovida Veda Vada 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 Akovida Kovida Vada Vadan Vadasyado Nadi Vidam Varishta. This is how we started the conversation. Akovida Kovida Vada Vadan. Then you think yourself very learned, but all what you are talking is nonsense, he says. Just see the difficulty. Rahugana thinking, very educated himself, one. Very educated. Learned everything. Also king. So you can imagine the pride inside. Isn't it? So with all this he has come for, and he is looking for a spiritual master. Rahugana is looking for a spiritual master. And is going to see Kabila Maharshi in Kabilashramam. And this is the mood in which he is going. And Jadabharata says to him, Akovida Kovida Vada Vadan. Vada Vadan. Vadasyado Nadi Vidam Varishta. And you are also talking a lot of things without knowing anything. See how he has to humble himself a lot when he has to hear this from him. And Nasurayo Hivyavaharamenam Tattuavamarshena Sahamanandi. You are busy with all your vyavaharam in this world. I am a king. I have to run the kingdom. I have to do this, do that. Along with that, I have to acquire the realization of the self as well. It doesn't work, he says. He says it's not going to happen. Why? Nasurayohi vyavaharamenam. Intelligent person have already concluded all this vyavaharam in this world has to come to a stop somewhere. And tattvavamarshena sahamanandi. And the inquiry for tattvam should begin. So there also he said the same thing. Then Nasurayohi Vyavaharamenam Tattvamarshena Sahamanandi. So intelligent people, they will not mix up do these two things. That is what Jadabharata has to say to us also. Tattvamarshena Sahamanandi Nasurayohi Vyavaharamenam. In other words, they will not mix up Vyavaharam. They will not mix up Vyavaharam with Tattvam. Tattvam is tattvam, vyaharam is vyaharam. Exactly like the body is body, soul is a soul. They are not to be mixed up. They are not to be mixed up. So that is the realization of the great personalities. They tell us very clearly, don't mix up these two things. And this is a very difficult thing also in life, isn't it? We want to keep everything together. And once we think like that, we are in trouble. Let one part goes its own, because that we have to drop one day anyway, which is our material life, family life, all kinds of social life, everything. That has to go. But we have to move on to the other side, tattvam. Tattvam arshena sahamanandi. Otherwise, it will not happen. We are saying, tattvam can wait, let family go on. We will never say, family can wait, tattvam has to happen, no. We'll say, family has to go on, tattvam, let tattvam wait. And therefore, it is like this. We are finding it nowhere, getting anywhere. So that is the difficulty, Krishna consciousness. So this is why we will be doing a lot of things in this world. By the end, it's all big zero. Nothing has come out from that. So spiritual life is like that. It's not how much you have done into it matters. People have this misunderstanding. If I open 500 temples in this world, will I get self-realized? There is no guarantee. So it is not based on karmam that the result is. Result in spiritual life is not based on the karmam, what you have done. You may have done many, many things. And people think that they have to increase it, increase it, increase it. No. Accepting what Krishna is telling us, that is our success in spiritual life. నా సూర్యయోహి వ్యవహారం. సూరి, సూరి మీన్స్ వాట్? సూరి మీన్స్ వన్ హూ హ్యావ్ రియలైజ్ ద ట్రూత్. ఇస్ అండి, యూ రిమెంబర్ దిస్ ఇన్ ద భాగవతం ఆల్సో బిగిన్స్ విత్ దాట్. ఇస్ అండి, జన్మాద్యస్య యథోన్నయా ఇతరత సర్తేషు అభిజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృద య ఆది కవయే ముహ్యందియల్ సూరయ. హి సేస్ సూరయ, సూరయ మీన్స్ వన్ హూ హ్యావ్, వన్ హూ నోస్ ద ట్రూత్. దే ఆర్ సూరీస్. సో వీ హ్యావ్ టు యాక్సెప్ట్ వాట్ ద సూరి సేస్. వీ షుడ్ నాట్ యాక్సెప్ట్ వాట్ ద వర్ల్డ్ సేస్. వర్ల్డ్ విల్ సే సో మెనీ థింగ్స్, అండ్ ఇఫ్ యూ థింక్ యూ ఆర్ ఫాలోయింగ్ ద వర్ల్డ్, యూ వోంట్ గెట్ ఎనీవేర్ ఇన్ స్పిరిచువల్ లైఫ్. ఇఫ్ యూ ఫాలో ద వర్ల్డ్, we have to follow the suris, the who have realized the truth. And suris, he says, tatvamarshena samanandi, don't mix up these two things. What? Vyavaharam on one side and self-realization on the other side. Vyavaharam is vyavaharam, you have to leave it at that. Self-realization is our goal in this body, nothing else. And when that doesn't happen, Krishna gets upset with us and causes problem. We'll discuss it next Sunday. We'll have 5 minutes here, thank you, before we finish.
Hare Hare Re, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shila Prabhupada.